even though it's gray outside, I think there's an air of hope in the city. Tonight, of course, Game 4, Blackhawks and Blues. I'm extremely hopeful, aren't you?
Absolutely. I thought you were going to give us a haiku. Even though it's gray outside.
No, I'm not. I don't speak
the Blackhawks will win.
I can't. I don't even know the syllable count.
I don't either. You could do iambic pentameter, but the haiku confuses me.
Yeah,
isn't it 575 or something?
Is it 575?
Oh, maybe.
Yeah. Bertrand would know, wouldn't he?
Yes, he's a writer and a reader.
He's told me on several occasions to not discuss haikus with him during the show.
Oh, I love haikus. We used to do haikus quite a bit with Kathy and Judy.
What's the syllable count? Is it 575? That's what
I think. 575.
Yeah. All right.
I think that's
that will
right.
be the
yeah.
score of the Blackhawks game tonight.
That would be unusual if it is. Several things to
575.
It is 575. So, well done, Kevin.
You are a genius millennial.
So I'm so artistic.
Bill F. and Wendy.
Yeah.
That would be line one.
Yeah. Almost done. Now you need. Now
Kevin
you need.
Kevin is pretty great too.
Color outside the lines.
Oh,
there
you
it is.
Guys, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. Hey, everybody, come back. Don't leave. We have a full show for you today.
Wait, it's not 4:20 yet, is it?
No. We have all kinds of things on today's show, including an airline pilot will be by later on.
Yeah. Well, this is a listener who called us because we had some questions about flying. Mm-hmm. And I think he's a current pilot. I can't remember if he's retired or not. I think he's current.
Mm-hmm.
And a drone hit a plane on landing yesterday at Heathrow Airport. And reports say this was the first time this has happened.
Well, they said in the news yesterday, I don't know if it's the first time it's ever happened, but they said that they've had over 400 incidents of planes that have come in some sort of contact with drones within the last year or so. And that's a lot. That's a real lot.
I know.
Getting worse before it gets better because more and more people are getting drones and just flying them just for fun and relaxation, I guess. But if you're endangering a flight, the fun and relaxation stops, doesn't it?
I am scared of these drones. I mean, just please play with your iPhone. Why do you need a drone?
Right.
Quit spying on me.
Right. Well, I'm trying to remember who did it in the news yesterday, but they said 400 incidents of drone-related mishaps or some contact between a plane and a drone, but they said 4,000 incidents in the last year of some sort of laser activity where somebody's pointing a laser pointer at an airplane.
Oh, the drones are the new laser.
This is more fun to have a drone, I guess.
Well, I don't think it's intentional where the drone people are trying to take down a plane.
I don't
sure
think
hope
so
not.
Either. Right.
But the lasers were, you know, oh, that'd be fun. Can it really blind a pilot? And are they really looking out the window? Don't they have instruments that handle the flight?
I can't figure that out exactly.
We can ask our listener pilot friend.
Yeah,
but
we'll
the view
a pilot.
Of the skyline, they're, of course, you're looking out the window. It's beautiful.
Right.
Coming into
That's
the city.
Why they became a pilot, right, to see the beautiful view. All right, so there will be an airline pilot on the show. Also, a guy, I don't know if you know Charles Ross's work, but he does a one-man Star Wars trilogy show. It's just him, and he does all the characters, so he'll be on later on as well. That's at 11 o'clock. And then Bridget Carey will also stop by to tell us what's new in the world of technology.
Yeah, but even more important than everything, we've got another $100 gift card to the Blackhawk store we're giving away.
Yes. Yes.
So that is highly exciting, thanks to the Village of Bedford Park. And that's coming up later on this afternoon. We'll just say second half.
All right. Sometime in the second half that'll happen. All right. So all that and more. If you want to be a part of the show, please do. 312-981-7200. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy, and it's WGN. One nurse, two skill sets. Find out why local hospitals want more bilingual nurses. It's tonight's cover story on WGN TV News at 9. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy. Discussing drones and what happens when they come in contact with planes. We have several calls on the topic.
I've been accused of droning on and on and
on. Some people have said that.
Never.
Is that the same
Who
thing?
Who says that?
No.
Who says that?
Well, Paul's a drone owner, or a droner, as we like to call him. How are you, Paul?
You have offended me this morning, Wendy. I am so offended.
Wait in line.
yeah, right. Listen, the whole quadcopter boom began in late 2013, early 2014, and I was one of the first people to buy one. I still own it. DJI is a huge manufacturer. There's some other ones that have come out since then, but I, right off the bat, use something called, many people may not have heard of it, it's called Common Sense.
Mm-hmm.
You don't fly them into hospital windows like we heard reports a couple of years ago. You don't fly them into airplanes. You don't fly them into places and misuse them. Unfortunately, since then, many people have done that. It was only the fairly somewhat wealthy that was able to get their hands on them because it just seemed like the cool thing to do. Now everyone has the opportunity to have one of these. I have never, nor will I ever, spy on you with my drone.
Thank you for that.
Drone, no.
Yeah, although I take it you're somewhat wealthy if you were the first one to get the drones.
No, one of the first people. So, I mean, these things retail at about $1,200, $1,300, depending on what manufacturer you go through. And, you know, like I said, the other company is a very popular company. I don't spy on people. I use it for photography and videography. That's it.
I think that's where most people got them, to get great shots of certain things, either videoing something or taking photos.
Of course. And now the camera's on them. Now the more recent one, the Phantom 4 is by DJI. They have a 4000K. There's other competitors out there that have some pretty cool stuff. I still have my other one. I don't want to keep it. I'm trying to sell it. They don't really have a great resale value. But then you've got the other people out there who are being idiots, who are flying them into airports. And it ruined it for us because, as you know, the FAA or FCC or FBI, whatever it is, now they want you to pay $5 to register your quadcopter. And I haven't done that yet. And they want you to do it so that when you do crash it into a plane or someone's house, they can come after you.
Jeff, I mean, is it apparent when you buy one, is there something in there that explains to you the rules that it's illegal to fly it X amount of feet away from an airport? Do they tell you that, or is that just up to you to know?
15-mile radius of the city, at least in Washington, D.C. That's the FAA's rules.
That's correct. Now, in New York, a little bit different. You've got YouTubers that fly them all around downtown. I fly mine in various parts of Chicago. There's also software on there that keeps you from flying it in certain areas. In fact, if you get within a certain parameter of an airport or a school or wherever, head around there.
Does it turn itself off? What does it do?
No, it stops dead in its tracks. It will not let you fly it within that certain parameter.
All right.
Well, that's a good idea, a good safety net.
It's to protect us from the people that want to do something stupid. So anyway, that's my little two cents on it. I'm not stalking you, Wendy, but they are fun to fly.
I didn't think so till you just said that. Now I think you kind of are.
No.
All right.
You left your light on last night.
Thank you, Jeff.
Paul.
All right.
Oh, was that Paul or Jeff?
That was Paul.
Oh, sorry.
Jeff is saying that drones can sometimes go crazy. Is that right, Jeff?
Yeah, just a side note on that. You know, the inexperienced droner, my son and I, who was near Millennium Park, we took our Segways out, and we had a mini drone we bought for about $50. Fits in the palm of your hand. Went into this area where you're like in a little, surrounded by buildings and a park, just to getting familiar with it. Well, we got it working a little bit, and then through a surge of wind, it took it away. And it's a mini drone, so we're just going to maybe hit a building. But I guess my point is, if you haven't operated one, you got to go into a proper area. Now, it could have taken off or probably not hurt anything because of the size. It didn't have a camera. It was basically a throwaway. And the wind took it probably 500 feet up, and we even lost sight of it. So that could probably happen with bigger drones, not even with cameras on them. People just don't know how to operate them, and they're out there trying them in a bad area. So I just wanted to offer that towards the conversation.
Well, we appreciate that, Jeff. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Do you remember, and it was my brother had these Cox airplane, COX airplane models, and he would fly them around. It was a remote control. Everybody did it.
Yeah.
And there's like a big field. I don't know if it's near Maple Lake, but it's like Mannheim, LaGrange Road, all the way down 180-something down there.
Yeah, I know that area, sure.
And there's a park where even today, if you go by, there are people flying these little airplanes. And even then, you have people who were not controlling them properly, and you would have to dodge other people's airplanes coming in. At you.
Yeah.
They'd be coming in for a hard landing right at your head.
All right, but something that small would have little to no impact, I wouldn't think.
And it doesn't go that high.
It doesn't go that high, right.
But yes, according to British police, this could be the first known case of a drone colliding with a passenger aircraft. The pilot told authorities he believed his jet hit a drone as it flew into Heathrow from Geneva on Sunday. And as you mentioned, in the six-month period from last August to January of this year, the FAA received 583 reports of pilots spotting the unmanned aircraft, but no problems where it ran into a plane until this time. This could be the first time.
But I wonder if by spotting, I mean, obviously the word spotting just means that they saw one, but I wonder if for them to report it, if that meant that they looked at it as a possible hazard, if they saw it and said, this is flying way closer to us than we're comfortable with.
You know how birds can get caught in the engine and take a plane down or mess it up? Yeah.
Right. And as they become more prevalent, as the drones become more prevalent, because this technology has only been in place, even though it's been around a while, as we've learned from listeners, it's been in the last couple of years that everybody goes, wow, they're not that expensive. I can go buy one now.
Keeping up with the Joneses.
That's exactly right.
Do you have any desire to get one?
None. Zero.
Me neither.
None.
I don't care that much what's going on at my neighbor's house. And if I do, I'll just ask him.
Right. And that's what trees are for. That's why I learned to climb trees. I don't need electronics to teach me. All right, we'll take a quick break. We've got a lot on today's show. We're thrilled that you're listening. Just thrilled. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It was pretty sad news yesterday as we learned that Doris Roberts, who played Marie Barone on Everybody Loves Raymond, died.
Raymond.
She was 90 years old, and I think if you're a fan of TV, if you've watched a lot of TV and logged a bunch of hours, you'd be hard pressed to find too many actresses who played the role of a mom better than Doris Roberts did. Not just on Everybody Loves Raymond, but on a bunch of shows before Everybody Loves Raymond. She perfected it. It was absolute perfection when she did it on Everybody Loves Raymond, but she had played a mom before and nailed it.
She was so good, and I know when she passed away, a lot of people were saying, oh, she totally was my mom on TV.
Yeah.
And she did relate to a lot of people because my mom was like that. The stranger was always right. She was nicer to everybody else, but your own family, just cynical and critical.
It's so interesting you say that, because I was trying to figure out, not just yesterday, but when Everybody Loves Raymond was in its absolute heyday, I was trying to figure out what it was about her and her characterization of the mom that made her so kind of identifiable to everybody. And I think it's because I can't remember a mom on TV who played such an obvious favorite, you know? Ray's brother, Robert, was her favorite, I thought, you know? And she was, and there were times, even though I thought his brother was the favorite, there were times that she reversed it, and I think that's pretty accurate.
I don't think Robert was her favorite at all.
You don't think so?
No, because Raymond gave her, you know, he had a good job. What was he, a sports writer?
Yeah.
He had a great family.
Yeah.
To me, Robert was just the big lug that wouldn't, you know, leave.
But she would give in to Brad Garrett's character more.
Because he didn't have anything else.
But isn't that how a mom is? You know, a mom finds the one that needs more mothering and gravitates towards that one.
Well, yeah.
Don't you think?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But she wasn't always nice to them.
No. Oh, no. I find an episode where she was nice all 30 minutes. You can't.
It is so great. And Frank, played by
Peter Boyle,
they really were maybe not the most loving. Well, they were loving. It's just they were rough around the edges. They loved their family more than anything.
But
Deborah. She didn't love Deborah that much.
You know how there's times.
I learned what a brijol was.
Oh, a stuffed steak.
Remember there was an episode about who made the better brijol?
Yeah.
Or
something?
Yeah. I forgot about that.
I had to look that up.
But he embodied the guy who just gave up, who's been fighting the battle for so many years. And
why
just goes,
bother?
It's going to be her way. I give up.
Oh, Frank, you're talking?
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was so great. And then didn't he have a heart attack or something while the show was in season?
I can't remember if it was a stroke or a heart attack.
It was something. And then she seemed to be a little more nice to him.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a fantastic show. And really, she was, it's just the typical, I don't know, it's my typical mom where, you know, the neighbors would come by. And I found myself last night saying, all right, it's open window season. Will you quit yelling in the house? Because it's like, I don't care that it goes on in the house, but I care that other people hear it.
Sure, of course.
The stranger's always right.
I knew her prior to Everybody Loves Raymond. There was a show on called Angie with Donna Pesco and Robert Hayes. And
yes.
She was Angie's mother on that. In the 70s, she was in three of my favorite movies of the era, A New Leaf, which is an Elaine May comedy, The Heartbreak Kid, which is Charles Grodin and one of the funniest movies of all time, and then a Walter Matthau movie called The Taking of Pelham 1-2-3. So for years and years and years,
heard of those.
All three of them are all three of those are brilliant movies, and she played little bit parts in them. But before we all got to know her on shows like Angie and then Everybody Loves Raymond, she just did dozens and dozens and dozens of just one day roles where she
Beretta.
Would
Beretta. She was on Beretta.
She was on Beretta for an episode or two.
Oh,
yeah.
And Streets of San Francisco. She was on Mary Hartman.
Yep. I think on Soap, too. Was she Father Tim's mother on Soap?
Yep.
Mrs. Flotsky?
Flo Flotsky.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
She was in an episode of Family.
No,
with
I don't
Seda Thompson.
That.
Remember that show?
The woman Christy who couldn't
McNichol.
Smile.
Yes.
Yep.
Rhoda. She was in Rhoda, an episode of Rhoda. Fantasy Island, for God's sakes.
Wow.
She played Tattoo's mom.
Tattoo's
right?
mom, Mrs.
No.
Two.
So, yeah.
to her tribute.
Mrs. Two.
Yeah, right. It was weird because Tattoo was
Barney
taller.
Miller. St. Elsewhere.
Wow.
The Love Boat, for God's sakes. Yeah. Mr. Belvedere. Remington Steele, Full House.
So find somebody with a more impressive array of credits than Doris Roberts. And honestly, when first of all, sad to hear the news. And then, were you expecting the number 90? Because I was not.
Well, I have to tell you something. When I heard that Doris Roberts died, I immediately felt really sorry for Betty White.
Because why?
Because Betty White has got it all going on. She's in a promo I just saw on TV for the show she's on. And it's like, she's up there, Bill.
Yeah,
and it's
yeah,
like,
yeah.
doesn't... I'm freaking out that Doris Roberts died at 90. What is Betty White thinking?
Oh, I get it. Yeah, because you go, another one of my peers has
yes.
fallen. Yeah, right. No, I guess.
I found myself feeling really sorry for her.
Yeah, all right, I can see that, too. Or
I have
you
a weird
go,
way of thinking.
But
it
I'm
is
still
weird
here.
Because, yeah.
yeah.
She's still on TV and kicking.
Yeah. Working steadily. Doris Roberts was still working
That's
steadily.
That's what I'm telling you.
That's the best. I think that keeps you kind of younger to be, you know, in that bracket and still finding employment and still doing great work. So, you know, there's something to that. I heard Steve earlier talking about Mel Brooks and Carl Reiner, who were both around 90 and both sharp as a tack. I think that keeps you in the game a little bit if you can pull that off. So
she was great.
Very sad news. You know, I never got to interview her. I never spoke to her, but I have spoken with Ray Romano and with Brad Garrett and Phil Rosenthal, who was the showrunner over there, and they all had nothing but great things to say about her, how the show would never have been anywhere near as popular or as great without her at the center of it.
She used to run around the hallways here a couple times. She was around.
I know she. Yeah. I know Steve had her on. Steve Cochran had her on a couple of times. And everybody says great things about her.
20-year veteran of the Broadway stage before she even began appearing on TV.
Really?
She was really something.
It's a solid career. So very, very sad. I don't know who replaces her now in the pantheon. Like, if you need somebody's, if you need somebody to play that type of a mom, I don't know who you get now.
Is the woman who played George Costanza's mom still around?
I think she's gone. I'm pretty sure she's gone.
These crazy lady actors.
I know.
I can volunteer to be the, you know,
you're
witchy mom.
You're coming up in that territory. I mean,
oh, really?
Know. Well,
she was 90.
Well, you're not coming up on 90.
Well, that was such a female trap right there. She volunteers herself.
And then when I fell for it,
it's like,
I grabbed the stick and then it closed on me.
Oh, that was classic.
Ouch.
I like your brother better than you.
That's what I mean. That's exactly what I mean. All right, a quick break, and then we'll talk to Bridget Carey from CNET. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
It is a Tech Tuesday, so here we go to CNET senior editor Bridget Carey, host of the CNET Update. I'm not going to say fog you to you, Bridget.
Nope.
Oh, thank you.
I will tell you this. We got an email that we're no longer using QuickTime here at the radio station,
mm-hmm.
and I wondered why, but then I'm seeing everywhere that there's like this big government warning that don't download and uninstall QuickTime for Windows. It's not safe. What's going on?
Well, it's one of those programs that everyone kind of has on their Windows computer, but you don't really think about or even use much these days, but a security firm came out and said, listen, you need to uninstall it because there are security flaws that are not being patched by Apple. And then at the same time, the U.S. government, Homeland Security, comes out and goes, yep, you need to uninstall it. It is not safe. It is not being patched by Apple. And it took a little while, but Apple did confirm and say, yeah, that's true. We are not supporting it anymore. Now, this is just for the Windows version, not the Mac version.
Of course not.
Yeah, so get it off your computer. The problem is it's easier said than done for some folks because if you use certain software, like certain Adobe software, sometimes it requires QuickTime. And now you have a situation where you might go, oh, I need it for work. Well, if you do need it for work, work on a Mac. It's safer.
You know, I have to get a new laptop, and I have a Windows computer, and I've been talking about this for weeks that I'm going to go get a Mac because I'm sick of all this stuff. But then I'm mad at Apple for not telling us that QuickTime is dangerous, and you know what I mean? I'm torn between.
Yeah, it is pretty unacceptable, I believe, these days for Apple to have abandoned the Windows version of QuickTime and not notify people, because you always hear when Microsoft or others don't support, you know, system updates anymore, and suddenly we had to find out through Homeland Security. Like, that's not the way to operate these days if you want the respect of your customers.
Did they find that out when they were hacking into that guy's iPhone?
Phone, sure.
I don't think that those are related, but you know, it's one of those. There's always a security group out there trying to look for vulnerabilities, getting reports, and then they're the ones who wanted the press because they talked about it out loud, and then that's when it all bubbled up.
Good news for gamers, Bridget. There's a new video game. I guess it's technically considered PlayStation 4, but it's slightly different, right? What do we know about this game?
All right, it's not a game. It's a new PlayStation 4.
It's a new system.
That's the rumor.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we just had a new console, but there's been a lot of buzz for a while now, and our sister site, Giant Bomb, got confirmation from a couple sources saying that Sony is working on an upgraded console. It's codenamed Neo. Like, you know, sounds all cool and Matrix.
Now, there was a game system called Neo Genesis not that long ago. Why would they go with the same name? It was Sony, I think, who had Neo Genesis,
It doesn't mean it's the official name that we're going to see in stores.
That's the code name, Bill.
That's code name. All right.
Your code name is Fog U.
Yeah, it is. Don't tell anybody.
It could be 4.5 or who knows what they're called, but From the little we know so far, from what people are kind of leaking out, the details are that it would be, you know, a better processor, better graphics, better memory. What can that get you? Well, I mean, Sony is working on a virtual reality system, so maybe they're going to be pushing this little slightly better system to be, hey, you know, it's better for virtual reality. But we don't know these things yet. You know, in the summer, in June, that's when there's this big video game conference called E3. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't be surprised if you just wait on for, you know, a few more weeks, we'll probably hear a lot about it.
All right, we'll look forward to that in the summer.
There are people that really stick with one system. My 16-year-old, he's really a Nintendo snob. That's all he'll use. Mm-hmm. And my 13-year-old is all about the Xbox One, and he says to himself, I don't need a PlayStation. But now when these new systems come out, they kind of start convincing themselves, well, maybe I should have that too. What makes one better than the other?
It's really about what games you like. A lot of times some games are just on the Xbox or some games are just on the PlayStation, and then they try to hook you in by, you know, having your friends be on one and your whole, like, and maybe you spent money on little avatars for one, and so you feel kind of invested into one ecosystem over another. But the truth is, you know, a lot of the same games do come out on both. And in fact, a lot of games now are even coming out on Windows, like the regular Windows desktop computer can play some of these games for Windows 10. So
yeah, it's funny. You know, my 16-year-old is more into his computer than a game system, mm-hmm. and you can get these games, and I'm like, where are you going to play it? He said, on my computer.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty weird. I have a tip that I would like to share with everyone. There was something called Moshi Monsters. I'm sure it's still out there. And it was just little figures and cartoons that young kids would play with. And Dylan has been not playing with them for a while, but I forgot I signed up for a monthly subscription. So I happened to notice that I've been paying for Moshi Monsters for the last probably 2 years, and he hasn't used it.
Yeah.
So it's a good idea to check your statements and look at things. your bank statements or your Discover card, because a lot of times you don't check the statements as regularly as you should.
Yeah.
And go ahead and call and cancel, because I've been paying for this for 2 years and not using
it. It's not fair. It's not fair. Bridget, a quick question. My TV keeps doing a thing where there's a part in the middle where there's a black line that just shows up and it blinks while we're watching shows. It's very distracting. So I know I need a new TV. I wanted to get a 4K TV, but I went to your website and they advise against it. Most of the writers over there at CNET say you don't need a 4K TV. What are your thoughts?
Well, it's because there's not a lot of content to watch on 4K right now. So
yeah.
If you want to save money, you certainly could get a top of the line HD television, and feel great about all your TV needs. It's about what are you watching? Are you buying Blu-ray movies and you want to kind of be ahead of the game for when 4K does get more out there? A lot of movies come in 4K slowly but surely coming out that way. But if you're someone who goes to Redbox, or you, just watch a lot of TV, you're going to get what's at that vending machine, or you're going to get what's coming out of your cable. And in that case, you're not really getting a lot of 4K. But there is 4K on Netflix on some shows.
Right.
Same with Hulu and Amazon. So it's not everything right now.
But it will be.
You want to save money. How long though, right? They're trying to be faster and faster about it. The hot shows on Netflix have it, and you can take advantage of it. But really, too, another thing about 4K, you have to have a really big TV to get the most out of that, because the pixels are so compact.
Sure.
Is your eye going to pick up on it if it's just a 50-inch TV compared to an 80-inch TV?
Yeah. We have a 70.
The bigger you go, the more you can tell.
We have a 70 because, honestly, our TV was 18 years old, and it was a rear projection, and it was no def as opposed to high def. So when we don't buy TVs very frequently. So when we did, we decided to go the 4K Ultra route because then we're set for a while. It's
right.
Not a huge difference in price. Even that's coming down, too. But
here's what they told me.
Over the holidays, some of the 4Ks were some of the best sales. So it's starting to come down.
They told me on the things that are broadcast in 4K, you'll get an incredibly clear picture. But on the stuff that isn't, everything's just a little bit foggy and blurry. And I don't want that.
It's not.
It's not? You can make it out? Everything
seems
to be okay?
Oh, my God. I can't believe we've been watching a no-def TV for all these years.
Yeah.
I couldn't see the puck during Blackhawks games. Seriously. And this, it's so weird because it's so clear that it looks like I'm watching my son play NHL 16. That's how clear this is.
Yeah. All right. Could you chip in on that, Bridget? I'd really appreciate that.
You got to have a GoFundMe account.
Okay, good. Thank you. Bridget, thanks so much.
No problem. Thank
it's Bridget
you.
Carey, senior editor and hostess. That's true, isn't it?
Yes.
Why is that funny? It's true.
It sounded like you were speaking
CNET
Russian.
Senior editor.
Senior
editor. And then she hosts the CNET Daily Update. It's on pretty much every day. We'll be right back. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
All right. I want you to know that this... Our next guest was booked without someone pointing a lightsaber at my head.
Sure, of course.
My husband, Jimmy Mack, Star Wars aficionado, his podcast, Rebel Force Radio, is on our website, WGNplus.com. And he has seen this one-man Star Wars trilogy and is actually jealous that you're on our show right now. Do you prefer Charlie or Charles?
Oh, well, it's Charlie. I mean, unless I was getting arrested. So I'd feel
see
better.
How the interview goes,
so
Charlie.
Will you frisk him?
Okay. Yes.
Perfect.
So Charlie Ross, my husband took one of our sons to see this on Super Bowl Sunday in the middle of a terrible snowstorm.
Snowstorm in Chicago?
Yeah, I know. Isn't that weird?
Years and years ago.
Oh, okay.
Wouldn't happen today.
Doesn't happen now.
Nope.
But people still showed up, and you have brought this one-man Star Wars trilogy back to town,
yep.
Running at the Broadway Playhouse at Water Tower Place,
yes.
Now through the 24th.
That's right. Yeah. It's bizarre because, I mean, I think being here with this show back in 2003, which was when I was originally here, things sort of blew open for me. Because I was just doing the show up to that point, sort of in fringe venues,
mm-hmm.
So like fringe theater festivals, which, you might have 120 seat, if you're lucky, venue to do your show, and you're really under the radar. But I got here, and there's no way to be under the radar when you're in Chicago, and Lucasfilm found out about the show, and I thought, oh my God, I'm going to die.
They're going to sue you at least.
Or something, or throw me to the Rancor Monster or something, but it didn't actually work out that way. They were interested. Which that confounded me. I'm like, so you're not going to kill me. Why? And I thought, well, I guess it's because it's just me on stage, no costume, no set, no props, you know, no real talent to worry about. And, you know, but I'm not selling ice cream bars or t-shirts or anything. It's just me. I'm really easy to manage. And if anything, it's celebrating the nerdy love of all things Star Wars. So they were intrigued and I was very relieved and I sent them my materials and they said, it's cool. We like it.
Had you seen there's other people who have done this, not so much with Star Wars, but I've seen A Christmas Carol where one guy will play all the characters.
Sure.
Had you seen productions of that, Charlie, prior to you doing this?
No. I'd read one of them, the one that Patrick Stewart, I guess he did forever and a day.
Christmas Carol.
He might still do it. Yeah. I mean, solo shows, I had done them before. I studied theater at university. I got a BFA, a Bachelor of Fine Arts, in theater acting. So, you know, you have lots of opportunity to sort of commit your life, 4 years of your life to, you know, being a theater nerd. And, eventually.
Star Wars nerd, theater nerd.
Well, we never did Star Wars studies.
Right,
you know, we never had like, you know, how to turn your dorky dreams into something else, right? But we certainly did solo shows. I mean, there's all kinds of people like Eric Bogosian. That's sort of been his bread and butter, you know. That's what he does. So, you know, when I got out of university and tried to start working in the real world, I was in Canada. And, you know, trying to make it as a theater actor in Canada is like trying to scale the Rocky Mountains with your lips.
A little tough.
It's just, and it's not going to be pretty if it happens. So
I just know not a lot of production going on there.
There are productions, but there's so many people vying for the same work and you have to go so far away for the work, which I was doing. But you're not really making ends meet. So I thought, okay, I've got to do something that was probably showcasing me more. And here's the thing. I had lost 65 pounds when I was 17 years old, and I'd always been sort of the funny kind of chubby guy, you know, in all the shows I ever did. And then when I lost the weight, suddenly I was getting cast as the boring priest or the prince, something like a total snore of a role. I'm like, I can still do comedy, but I would never get cast in a comedic role. So trying this. Star Wars, me on stage. You talked about doing stand-up. I tried doing it, and that was soul-crushing and wonderful at the same time. believe it or not, I tried this sort of in a comedy club setting, and it was just the first film, so it was about 20, 25 minutes, and I thought, okay, this is going to die, absolutely die. And it absolutely killed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, well, because I looked out, and, you know, the audience, it's always going to be a bunch of drunken people that don't seem to know anything or care. And the front row were these, excuse me for saying, hoochie mamas that were out for a stagette. And I thought, I'm going to just die here. But somehow, even the girls knew what was. And I, you know, when I just nailed sort of the more, I guess, whatever, like the more general knowledge.
That was our tip, by the way, right?
That was Chewbacca. But when I tried doing it, they were able to follow it. Because I underestimated the power of, well, nerddom, but more specifically Star Wars. And it went so well that one of my friends who I'd actually kind of worked on the show with, this guy TJ Daw, who's a solo performer, that's his bread and butter, he said, man, it's got to be the full trilogy. So I tried to, you know, made it into what it is. And I mean, sometimes people don't get it because they've never seen Star Wars before. And I think that's insane. They've come to see my show.
Right.
But I'm like a primer, you know, the Reader's Digest version of Star Wars. It's
Cliff's Notes.
Absolutely.
Is what we had here in the States.
Well,
yeah.
There you go. Exactly. And it's basically just, you know, those 8 hours of film condensed down into 1 hour.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you've never seen Star Wars, but you like theater, I guarantee you come to this here and you are going to be entertained because it's kind of terrifying. It's like if there was a person possessed by Star Wars, this would be sort of it.
Possessed.
And I am possessed by Star Wars.
Right.
So, I mean,
how many characters within the one-hour show, approximately how many characters do you think you're doing?
I think it's about 45.
That's a lot.
It is, but not everybody gets, you know, 5 minutes of time.
Right.
There's some that just go by really quickly. And I did actually do the count. But, I mean, people like Luke Skywalker, Han Solo, the Emperor, Darth Vader,
a lot of time.
Yoda, they get more time because obviously that's the voice I can probably probably do better rather than trying to pretend to be Yoda. My Yoda sucks. It's
Come on. Gotta hear it.
No, you don't. It's just,
come on.
No, I sound like a dying goat. That's about all I'm going to give you because
that's what
horrible.
Yoda sounded like.
It does.
Forgive me, Star Wars fans.
It's sort of everybody at the end of the show, I have about at least five people come up to me at the end of the show and do just a spot on Yoda impression. I'm like, yeah, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot. You're awesome and I suck.
Do you have an understudy for the nights that you're just not feeling up to it? You know?
Boy, do I wish.
Wouldn't
sometimes.
That be nice?
It would be interesting. I think it actually, there's the ego part of me that probably wouldn't want to watch somebody else do well.
Yeah.
But no, I'm not allowed to have an understudy.
It's just you.
So it's me.
His name is Charlie Ross. One man, Star Wars trilogy, runs at the Broadway Playhouse at Water Tower Place, 175 East Chestnut. It's running now through the 24th. You can go to BroadwayInChicago.com. I will openly admit I have made fun of my husband for years.
So you should.
But you know what? I love that he is so passionate about something. He has a Star Wars collection that when the kids were little, they would have to check it out like a library book. You can play with, you know, Princess Leia, but in order to get Han Solo, you have to return it. So they love it. I've seen the movies. I enjoy them, but I don't get into it as much as these Star Wars fans are so loyal, so huge.
Sure.
And they're eating you up.
They are eating me up, but at least I don't feel like I'm actually being consumed by it, you know, in that way. But this is the thing. Star Wars fans, there's this belief that Star Wars fans are crazy and they can't allow anything, you know, that could be fun or, you know, poking fun at this thing that they love to happen, that they, you know, they'd rise up and riot. I'm like, you don't know Star Wars fans. Star Wars fans have an incredible ability to, you know, tongue-in-cheek, poke fun at the things that are obviously, you know, a little bit cheeseball. And look at the first film. It's basically a B movie in a sense that was done sort of, you know, there's like one or two A-lister type people in it, but it was sort of a B film and a very expensive one. But because of its style, its sort of cheeseballiness, it's become stylized and it's in fact what makes it so totally awesome, which is that there was nothing quite like it. And, you know, you look at Mark Hamill, he's just taken that material so seriously, you know, whereas Alec Guinness was probably, you know, dying a bit on the inside every time he did a line.
Right.
You know, but he was happy to get paid, I'm sure. But, you know, some people are starting their career at that point. Some people are rounding out the end of their career at that point. And I find it amazing to think that there are people that worked on those films, you know, 40 years ago. They had a tiny role. And they still are able to come out to things like conventions, sign autographs, give talks about their time on it. It was almost like a mythical, you know, crusade or something where, you know, you want to hear war stories. Anything at all would be interesting to some people. And maybe it isn't interesting to everybody. It doesn't matter. But people know every character. They know every person that's been in it to the point where there was actually a guy in Australia who had played a minuscule role. He didn't even have a line. He just went like this. He just sort of, you know, saluted as a stormtrooper.
Yeah.
But whoever they are, but somehow the nerd, you know, Illuminati found him in Australia, and he's the only Australian at that time that had been in the films.
Oh, really?
And they got him to come out to a convention, and it was like a religious revival. People were so excited.
Don't you think, Charlie, a lot of that has to do with the marketing? For instance, from a toy aspect, there could be somebody in a crowd scene way, 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 way in the back, and yet they have their own action figure and a second variation where they're wearing a sun hat.
Right.
You know, there's always so many ways to sell it.
Totally. But it's funny that you should mention that, because when I remember Star Wars, my first memory of it is not the film, because I didn't even know what the film was.
Yeah.
I was watching Saturday morning cartoons, and then it was, you know, you two could own the Force.
Yeah.
You have all these toy commercials.
Right.
Well, talk about marketing being brilliant. I didn't know what this was, but I desperately wanted these toys. And I didn't know anything. I just thought, these are awesome. This is great. And then my dad took me to see the film, and then it completely changed everything.
Right.
But kids at the time, and I don't mean to go, well, back in my day, but back in the day, people didn't all have the toys, and you still would play Star Wars on the school ground, or at the, you know, at the end of school, you'd still be playing Star Wars.
Yeah.
And everybody was doing sort of what I continue to do on stage, is that, you know, nobody wants to be cast as Princess Leia, and yet, you know, somebody gets to be passed to be Princess Leia, and sometimes it's your turn to be Leia, and that's fine. But you know, that's what
you
I
sound
do.
Like you're suppressing a memory that you're not
I'm trying to forget
quite ready to talk about. It's Charlie Ross is here. One man Star Wars trilogy running at the Broadway Playhouse. That's at Water Tower Place. It runs today through the 24th of this month. You want to call 800-775-2000 or BroadwayInChicago.com. We'll be back with more next. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Who is this, Wendy?
This is the Cantina Band.
Absolutely right.
You're a jerk.
Wendy, you insulted our guest.
I did not.
Charlie Ross was ready to leave.
She knew Max Rebo. You knew Max Rebo. That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, but Max entertained the troops. I know who Salacious Crumb is.
Well, that's awesome.
So that has something to do with Jabba. I don't learn it all. All right.
You picked up stuff, though.
Osmosisly.
Yeah.
That's how I've done it. Charlie Ross is in the studio. It's a one-man Star Wars trilogy, and it is playing Broadway Playhouse at Water Tower Place. One-week engagement. So get your tickets while they last, April 19th through the 24th, and you can go to BroadwayInChicago.com. We also have a toll-free number, 800-775-2000.
Can we convince you to do a scene from the show, Charlie?
You can convince me, and I will do it.
Oh, you're the best. Okay, all right, what are we going to hear?
You're going to hear the trash compactor scene from the very first film. So hopefully you guys will know exactly where I'm at. So.
Okay. Here's Charlie Ross.
It's kind of loud. So
from his one. That's fine.
Okay.
Okay.
Get behind me! Get behind me! This is some rescue. You got any plan for getting out? Well, he's the brain, sweetheart. What the hell are you doing? Some is to save us kids. In the garbage too, fly boy. Get in there, you big furry oaf. I don't care what you smell. Get in there. Get in there. Wonderful girl. I'm going to kill her. I'm beginning to like her. Get in there. Ah. The garbage chute. What a wonderful idea. What an incredible smell you've discovered. Well, it could be worse. It's worse. There's something alive in here. Somebody just swam past my leg. Look, did you see that? Can't look! Can't look! Blast it, will you? My gun's jammed. Where? Oh, anywhere! No! Kid! Luke! Kid! Luke! Grab him! What happened? I don't know. Just let go of me and disappeared. The walls are closing in. Don't just stand there trying to brace him with something. Wait a minute, 3PO? Come here, 3PO! 3PO! Oh, where can he be? 3PO! 3PO! Are you there, sir? 3PO, we've had some problems. Will you shut this to me? Shut down all the garbage smashes on the detention level. Do you copy? Shut down all the garbage smashes on the detention level. No, shut them all down, hoodie. Ah, you damn 3PO! Listen to Martu, they're dying. Oh, curse my metal body wasn't fast enough. It's all my fault, my fault. We're all right. You did great. Where are we? 326, 3827. And that goes for an hour.
How about that?
I can't even believe that. Bill, you were watching him like a little kid with wide eyes.
Well, there's a time, Charlie, where if you would have done that, people would have thought that you were a witch and burned you at a stake. But not anymore. Now people enjoy this.
No, they don't burn me at the stake. They just get burned in review sometimes. That's all that really happens. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, isn't it strange that, at one point in history, I would be put into an asylum?
Something's wrong with that man, but not anymore.
No, it's okay. I just got Star Wars in the brain. So this is me sort of, you know, I think paying my dues for all my wasted youth.
Bravo.
Yes.
It takes a lot out of you, doesn't it? To do that for an hour must be very draining.
It does. And in fact, it's weird. When I'm doing the show and touring a lot, I find that my weight drops.
Does it?
Yeah. And when I have time off, I start to become a bit more like Jabba.
Oh.
So it just happens, you know? But it's okay.
And cast parties are lonely, I bet.
Very, very. Yeah. It's just me.
Just you.
What do you think of the show? Pretty good. Yeah. No, there's no cast party.
Nope.
There's no opening night parties. There might be tonight. I don't know. But sometimes I talk to people at the end of the show. Sometimes I just talk to myself. So
you are amazing. He's Charlie Ross. Go see it. It's the one-man Star Wars trilogy. And if you want tickets, you better hurry because it's a limited one-week engagement running now through the 24th. Broadway Playhouse at Water Tower Place, 175 East Chestnut. Here's where you can go for tickets, BroadwayInChicago.com, or call this number, 800-775-2000. Come see us again. That was amazing.
I will happily come back.
We hope your stomach's feeling better next time.
I have to get sick. I've got to get sick.
All right. You'll be all fine. Okay. A quick break. Some news next. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Sorry I fell on your button.
What happened there? Kim, are you all right?
Yeah. Well,
Wendy cut you off for a second or
two.
Oh,
you know, I heard a little pop, but I wasn't sure what that was.
It was me popping.
You're okay, though. All we care about is your safety.
I'm fine.
All right.
All right. We use words incorrectly occasionally.
Constantly.
We do, and I know we're broadcasters.
I think the English language is negotiable. I don't think it's
set. So it's the term broadcaster.
Yeah, it's not set in stone. You can mess with it a little.
Well, growing up, my mom and sister, who was an English major, would always correct me when I say, Bill and I are going to the store. Join Bill and me. Mm-hmm. And I know you swear by the fact that you were told never to use "and me."
At the school that I went to, at St. Damien's School in Oak Forest, Illinois, they told us it is never correct to say somebody and me. It's always somebody and I. And any time I fall into that, which is every day, somebody calls up and says, you're saying that incorrectly. And I am. But they told us that way. I swear to you, every kid I went to school with, whenever I run into someone, I know what you're saying because I do the same thing. And everybody at work makes fun of me for saying it wrong.
Well, every time we say it wrong, which is usually several times a day, we get texts saying,
"Yes,
idiots, this is how you say it."
Yes.
We know. Yes. We just don't choose to use it that way sometimes.
Right.
But like, there are things that people, my mother-in-law, Annette, she always says this phrase,
mm-hmm.
"for all intents and purposes."
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have heard people say "for all intensive purposes."
I've heard that too.
That's not right.
It is not.
All right. Intensive is a word that means strong or extreme, but that's not what's called for in this phrase.
But when you stop and think about it, even though that is incorrect, it could be correct. It isn't correct. But if you're trying to get that point across, intensive purposes could be right, but it isn't.
See, that doesn't make sense to me. To say practically speaking or in all important ways, the phrase you want is "for all intents
and purposes.
Purposes."
Yes. Yes.
All right.
But what's the one you told me one yesterday or Friday, I can't remember which, that your mom said wrong all the time and you never called her out on it?
Well, she always said I looked like a gun mouth.
That's the one, a gun mouth.
And I just thought that meant that I have a potty mouth and I swear too much, but she meant a gun mall,
right.
M-O-L,
right.
Which I wear too much eye makeup, and that's what she was trying to say.
And you used to be a flapper. I guess most people know that, don't they? You spent a couple years as a flapper.
But I never heard the term gun mall, and those are the dames that would hang with the gangsters. You know what I'm saying? Say.
Why did she think it was gun mouth?
No, she said gun mall, but I heard gun mouth.
Oh.
I never heard the... No, she did. She said it correctly.
She said it right? Okay.
I just never heard that word.
Oh.
Gauntlet and gamut. Like if you run the gamut, which is correct?
I think those are interchangeable, aren't
they? I think you're right. Ding, ding, ding.
I think you can say either or on that one.
Run the gauntlet and run the gamut are both correct, but they do mean different things. Running the gauntlet was an old type of punishment where a person was struck and beaten while running between two rows of people.
That sounds like fun. Where do I sign up for that?
GameofThrones.com.
Yeah, no. All right, I'm in.
A gamut is a range
a
or
bit of everything.
Spectrum. So if you run the gamut,
that means anything can happen.
Right. Yeah. When something runs the gamut, it covers the whole range of possibilities.
All right.
So
you can't, in that particular instance, either one of those could be correct.
Depends how it's used,
depends
though.
What you're going for. All right.
If you're running the gauntlet, you would be getting... beaten.
Yeah, I guess. Okay.
I use this word incorrectly a lot, and in fact, I don't even know if I really know what it means.
What is this?
Refute.
To go against is what that means.
To refute a claim or an argument doesn't just mean to offer counterclaims and opposing arguments.
Uh-huh.
That would be to respond or rebut.
Yeah.
Or what the Kardashians do. They get a new one, so that's called rebut as well.
Sure it is.
To refute is to prove that a claim is false.
Oh, to not just go against it, but to actually show why it is incorrect.
All right,
okay.
Good. I don't feel
all right.
is bad that you didn't know it either. If you refute, the disagreement should be over because you've won.
Uh-huh.
If someone accuses you of not having paid for something, you refute the accusation by producing the receipt.
You show them a bill and you say, look, I paid right here. Okay.
I show them you.
That's right. Hi, I'm the bill that Wendy forgot to pay. And then I go back in your purse.
Good luck finding anything
in
there.
So dark in there.
It's a mess. 312-981-7200. Terry, do you say something wrong or you hate when people do say something wrong?
Well, I'm a long ago newscaster on television, and there's one that I hear all the time by current newscasters that drives me up a wall, and that's when somebody disappears, they say they went missing.
Isn't that a strange way to word it?
I don't like that either.
They don't go missing. They become missing.
Right. So why?
To see how stupid it sounds, use the opposite and say, do you ever say somebody went found?
Never. No.
That's how odd the phrase is, but we've become used to it.
Isn't that strange? I wonder why it became normal to word it that way, because it is. It's not correct in any way, shape, or form, is it?
Yeah.
Oh. I also like, and this is more of a Southern phrase, but people will talk about somebody who up and died, and I don't think you can do that.
Well, what if you crawl up a tree and die?
You could do that. Bad planning, but you could, I guess.
All right, thank you. But now, went is the past tense of go, so he's gone missing would be better. He went missing. I do
it's
hear that
still
all
not,
the time.
But even that's a weird way of getting that point across.
Why don't you just say he's missing?
Missing is all you
just
need.
Just leave it out.
Yeah, that's better.
I noticed that's what Kim Gordon does in
that
news
is
reports.
What I do.
Yeah.
Somebody's
well,
that's
missing.
More conversational. I think, you know, went missing, sometimes that's like kind of newspaper type writing.
It's not even newspaper. It sounds almost overly folksy, doesn't it?
Yeah. And you know what else bothers me, too? And I know Europeans do this, is say went to hospital.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That one bothers me.
Right. Or on holiday. That's very
like
British. Somebody's on holiday.
I like that.
That sounds...
It sounds better than
it
on vacation.
Sound vacation.
Sounds ritzier,
yeah.
I guess. Okay.
I'm on holiday.
Doesn't that sound... I'm going to start saying that when I'm away.
With
I'm on
an
holiday.
Accent or no?
Where'd you go on holiday? To hospital.
I also hate...
And I went missing.
Right. Sadly.
You know, I took... I was a journalism. I took news writing, and there's a really great book out there that I tried to write correctly, and writing news copy and reading news copy, two entirely different things.
Uh-huh.
And I forgot my whole point.
What the title of the book? Were you going to say that
no,
develops the title? You
I
were
was
not going to develop
oh,
it.
Oh, I know what I was going to say. When you're doing, you know, writing a good lead, and then when you go further on into the story and they say, you know, he was taken to a nearby hospital.
Yeah.
Where would you take him to?
A
faraway
hospital. Let's get him out to Seattle.
And
see
that's like
does.
Old school news reporting. And I do believe that in these days, you are trying to make it sound more conversational
sure.
than in the olden days
sure.
of news broadcasting.
Now, I know I've mentioned this to you, but Kim, I don't think you've been in on this. I've noticed a lot of news reporters now, when reporting a story, instead of saying the phrase, in the meantime, they'll say, meantime, and then just go on.
I've
just
done
just
that. Well, we'd say meantime just to shorten it up here.
Yeah.
But the other thing that, you know, we've kind of gotten away from, too, because it is more conversational, is not to say officials say.
Yeah.
You know, you say the police say, or the firemen say, or whoever says.
Yeah.
Because it's just more conversational. It's the way you would actually talk
guess.
To somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, because think back of the old broadcasting days in other news.
Right.
Now, and Kim is awesome at it, as are other people. But Kim, I've noticed you especially, you just go to the next story, you know? But
no bridge between
there's no
the stories.
Connector word.
Right.
Oh, you make me blush.
Right. I would say in another story that's in no way connected, I would say that.
That's what Bertrand does.
Right.
That's my favorite thing was him doing news the other day, and something happened with his computer, and we threw it to him, and he just went... this is interesting.
Right. That's a good preface book because that says to the listener, if you weren't paying attention, here's one you're going to like.
But it just shows our honesty.
Yes.
But that's what yes. I like. And as a listener, listening to radio for all my years of having ears, mm-hmm. I loved when things kind of went astray.
Sure.
Or awry, which yeah. is correct.
I don't know.
I guess I don't know. We have more people, though, that want to jump in. 20 words, word usage mistakes even smart people make. We're not going to get to all 20, but we're going to do some of yours as well. 312-981-7200. Join Bill and me as we continue this segment next on 720 WGN. I speak too quickly
you
sometimes.
You were going very slowly.
All right.
Calendar days were flying past my head while you were reading that.
All right, Dave, what's wrong with you and me?
You guys are the bright spot in my life every day, and I don't want to say it any other way.
Thank
you,
Dave.
Boy, you have a pretty depressing life.
Oh, no.
Not really.
Oh, no.
My mother was a teacher, and a couple of things that really drove her nuts were hearing the term, me and Susan are going to the store. Do you want to go with? And she was like, no, it's not that. It's Susan and I are going to the store. Do you want to go along?
With us.
That always drove her nuts was, we use the term, it's irrelevant. She said, no, there's no such thing as irrelevant. It's either relevant or it's not. So you say, that's not relevant. You never say irrelevant.
I think irrelevant is a word. I don't think irregardless is definitely not a word, although I think they've added that to the dictionary now.
That's the case, though, right, Dave? If enough people say it, even though it's incorrect, it just becomes, by proxy, it becomes correct.
It becomes correct. Like, yeah. Ain't was never used as a word, but now it's in the dictionary.
What word?
Ain't.
Ain't.
Yeah.
What my father used to use all the time, which gave us a good laugh, he would say as we're out taking a walk, look out for the dog did. You say, what? No, it's not do. The dog didn't do it. He already do it. So it's dog did. So stop saying dog did.
Dave, you make our day.
The past tense. Thank you.
Thank you so much. We appreciate it. There are certain things we say wrong, and we try as we may or try as we might. See, now I'm scared to talk.
No.
Which is a blessing in disguise for many of you. Hi, Eric.
Hi there. How are you?
Good.
What have you got, Eric?
Great. Well, the one that drives me nuts is when people say, I could care less, when they really mean the exact opposite, which is they really don't care.
Eric, it's the strangest thing. You're 100% correct. But of all the people I've tried to convince that they're saying that incorrectly, I'm old forever. I can't get anyone to understand why they're saying it incorrectly.
I couldn't.
No, I could care less. No, you couldn't. If you could care less, that means you have the ability to care less. It nullifies what you're saying. But nobody seems fazed by that.
Who doesn't believe you when you explain that?
I'm not going to tell you. My wife.
Really?
Yeah.
Terry.
And when I try to correct her, she then says, I could care less. And that is incorrect also.
So she could care less, which
that's
is good
I'm
for you.
To tell her. Yeah.
Thank
I don't know
you,
why
Eric.
People don't understand that one.
Yeah.
That's the easiest one to figure out.
All right. Vocabulary words, invariably.
Yeah.
If something happens invariably.
Yes.
It always happens.
Correct.
To be invariable is to never vary. The word is sometimes used to mean frequently, which has more leeway. People do use that incorrectly.
I imagine
they do. I just don't use it because
yeah,
I don't know how to use
it. It's too dangerous.
All right, the term free rein. The words rein, and the only way you'd know this, if you speak it, it's okay. But sometimes if I'm texting or emailing someone, I have to look up which rein it is.
Yeah.
I know it's not R-A-I-N.
Isn't it R-E-I-G-N? Is that the one?
No, this one is R-E-I-N. So that's weird. The words R-E-I-N, rain, and the one with the G are commonly confused. Rain with the G, R-E-I-G-N, is a period of power or authority. Kings and queens reign. And a good way to remember it is to note that the G relates to royal words like regent and regal.
Mm-hmm.
That'll just confuse me.
It's too much.
A rein, R-E-I-N, is a strap used to control a horse.
Yeah, and that's what it refers to?
The confusion comes in when the control of a horse is used as a metaphor for limits on power or authority. Free rein comes from such a metaphor. If you have free rein, you can do what you want because no one is tightening the reins.
Oh.
See, I thought it meant free rein, meaning there's no authority in charge.
That's what I always imagined it to be, too. We were both wrong. So Purple Rain, Prince is singing about a horse strap?
Oh, that's R-A-I-N.
All right.
All right, here's something. When you would write footnotes or reports when we were in high school and you had to put like an example.
Yeah.
Didn't we put E-X?
Yeah, E-X period, meaning here's an example.
Well, I don't know, first of all, when that changed to E-G. It obviously is Latin.
Or maybe E-G Marshall is behind this. That.
But when do you
bad
use
man.
I.E. bad man?
I almost swore. I almost
oh,
did.
Oh, I know. Shut your mouth.
I almost did.
I got
an Officer Patrick on you. Very close.
All right. I.E. and E.G. When you add information to a sentence with parentheses, you're more likely to need E.G., which means, for example.
I like EX better as an example.
Yeah, when did they switch? Because I'm telling you, we always put EX.
Yeah, this is fairly recent.
Like in the last 40 years?
Last 40 years, yeah.
And IE means in other words, or which is to say. An easy way to remember is EG is example, and IE is in effect.
Yeah. But EG...
It's not example, it's example.
Right.
I don't know, we're saying things wrong. That's what we do. Hi, Wanda.
Hi. Let's talk about...
pop music. Talk about pop music.
Oh, my God, I just blanked.
Can I help you? Because we put it on the screen. Kevin put it up there. Does it start with the word as?
As of yet.
Oh, as of yet. What is your problem with as of yet, beside it being wrong?
I don't know yet.
Right.
But I don't know of this moment.
But it indicates that at some point you will know it, right?
As of the future.
Right. But you would never say as of the future. It's like when people know, I used to know that. You'll be talking about something, and, oh, I used to know that. Why don't you know it anymore? I just don't. I don't know where it went. I had it in my brain, and now I don't.
As of yet, I'm still confused, Wanda.
Oh, you are still confused now.
Right.
Right.
But as of yet is a way of saying, like, at some point in the future, I'll know this, but at this particular instance, I do not.
You guys are not at all.
Thank you, Wanda. And EG stands for ergo.
Oh, ergo.
When did it change from EX, Steve Bertrand? You're a literary prose, and I mean P-R-O-S.
Or you mean for example?
Yeah. Yeah, didn't we growing up use EX period, and then it turned to EG?
G-R-E, yeah, EG college when I saw that.
Is that about when? Yeah.
Well, we're going back to EX.
Yeah, we're going back to EX, Steve. Try stopping us.
As of now, it's mostly EG. Yeah.
As of yet.
All right, quick break, and then the Wintrust Business Lunch with that guy, Steve Bertrand, 720 WGN.
Kim, thanks very much. It's us, guys. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy. Second half of the show for Tuesday. Thrilled that you're here. Jump in, 312-981-7200.
I'm still in a quandary.
Because why?
Isn't that a great word?
Was that on the list earlier?
No. Quandary. But, you know, it's weird. I was looking. We were talking in the first half of the show. If you weren't listening to us then, why not? That was the better half.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about words people say wrong, and some of them came up. Someone texted in all of a sudden. He hates when people say that because it should be all of the sudden. I've never heard anyone say all of the sudden.
I don't think anyone's ever said all of the sudden.
Me either.
No, right? You wouldn't say that, mm-mm, would you? I don't think.
No. So I'm in a quandary because the Blackhawks had a great morning skate, and things look like they're going to even out the series tonight as they play at the United Center. Roe and Anna will be there. And I have this playoff bra that I wore last year that brought us the Stanley Cup. I like to call them the Stanley Cups. Sorry.
And you're sure this is what brought Chicago a Stanley Cup? You're positive?
It seemed to be when I wore it, they won a game. So
right.
I kind of, I had ripped it, so I sewed it.
Please don't tell us how.
Let us
all use our imagination as to how that happened.
The strap just came off.
It happened, sure.
So I darned it. Darn it.
Because kids are listening.
Right.
Yep.
And I laundered it,
mm-hmm,
and I put it away for this year,
mm-hmm,
for the playoffs.
In a gold case, an especially made gold case that is impervious to the weather.
No, it's just it was sitting in a drawer, my lingerie drawer.
Yeah.
Or linguine, as my kids thought it said at a X-rated place when we were in Nashville. Does that say linguine? I said, no.
Yeah, that's what it says.
So here's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot to get the playoff bra out this playoff season.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't wear it the first two games.
Mm-hmm.
They lost one, they won one.
Mm-hmm.
Sunday, I went to the game and wore it, and they lost.
So I don't know
what to do tonight.
I'm almost positive.
Only use one cup.
Right, do that. You know how the Blackhawks slogan is one goal? Yours should just be one cup.
I don't know how to do that. But the thought bubble, and if you're looking at it, it's pretty funny right now.
I seriously do
not know what to do. I could wear it, and then if they lose tonight, we're still not to panic because they could still pull it off.
Right.
And then I will pull it off, and I think we should burn it tomorrow on Pioneer Court.
Well, you only want to burn it if it
if they lose tonight.
Ends poorly, right? Which we hope isn't the case. I mean,
but I don't like this pressure. So then I thought, well, the other bra could be the new playoff bra for this year, and I'll just wear the one that I wore Friday night tonight. I don't know what to do. Mm. Do you
maybe
see the quandary?
Maybe it just needs to be washed.
No,
try
but
that.
That's, I think, what happened. I washed it from last postseason.
You washed away the luck.
I think so.
I see. All right.
I know this is like, you know, the world has big problems, but I really don't know. It's not on now. I would put it on later with my Duncan Keith jersey.
Right.
I'm not saying sweater.
Right.
But I seriously don't know what to do. Do I take the pressure off? And well, I would take the pressure off if I took it off.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Should I just not wear it tonight, and then we'll start a new playoff bra for this year?
So you're saying just hang loose tonight?
Yeah.
No, I'll just wear the one that I wore Friday when they won. Because that's
maybe
what
that's
changed.
Maybe you should just go free.
Try that, Wendy, and see what happens. Try that. And watch our webcam hits go up a lot.
At least my feet will be warm.
At least. Oh, no. Oh, no.
Kill me.
Kevin, Bill has quit. Call Victoria's Secret and ask them if their CEO can come on with us.
I just don't know. I'm seriously saying this because I don't know. Are you superstitious in any way?
You know, I'm not in any way. And yet, when it comes down to stuff like this, I've told you this before. If I'm watching the game on one TV, we have four televisions in our house. And if I'm watching it on one television and I need to go in another room, if they're winning, it's like, I don't want to go into the other room and watch it on a different TV because they're up and I'm watching it on this one. And as I'm thinking that, I go, how stupid am I? I know that that doesn't have any bearing on the game at all.
But you think about it and it gets into your head.
It does.
It's crazy, though. I'm smart enough to know that that doesn't make any difference in the outcome of a hockey game. And yet I catch myself every game going, oh, they're winning 2-1. I'm in this room. I can't go in the other room and watch. I got to stay here.
Jimmy Mack does his own ritual, and he does a shot of Cuervo Gold in between periods. So we ran out of tequila one night.
Oh, in the overtimes? If they go into a couple of overtimes.
I think this was just he didn't plan it accordingly, and he only had enough for one shot after the first period. So then I was out, and he said, could you pick up some Cuervo? Because he has to do that. And he has to put the jersey on at game time.
But I'm sure there have been nights where he's done that ritual and they've lost.
Well, see,
so
that's
how does he
my
write
question.
It? Yeah, see, that just proves that it's incorrect, doesn't it? I mean, if it was 100% foolproof.
Right, I get you.
Then you go, okay, every time I do this, they win. But even if there's one time where it doesn't work,
then it wrecks the momentum.
Yeah, right.
So it's not a playoff bra anymore.
You could still call it that.
I don't really want to if it's not serving its purpose.
Well, it's still serving its purpose. It's not serving its secondary and tertiary purpose.
Tertiary?
Yeah.
Tertiary?
Yeah.
Karen, what do you think? I know this is stupid.
Wendy, I got to figure it out for you. Put on a sports bra, then put your Blackhawks bra on top of that. It's on, but it's not touching your breasts. So it's serving both purposes.
Could you talk slower?
Really?
No,
just say the word breast again. Bill's eyes lit up.
I'm kidding. You lit the lamp.
Is that what you call it?
Yeah, you lit the lamp. Yeah.
Yeah, but that doesn't count either, because then what if that works? Then I have to do it all the time.
What's the problem with that? Double liftage.
Yes.
The sports bra smashes. It doesn't lift. Karen, the sports bra smashes.
It's supposed to lift and separate.
No, it smashes.
Oh, no. Smashes and trashes.
Not mine.
Bill looks so.
This is like a movie I saw on Showtime when I was in high school.
And see, then here's what Jimmy Mack could do. He could put that Cuervo Gold on your double.
Careful.
Bra.
Okay, we're on the air,
no.
Karen. I mean,
oh,
please.
No.
You've actually embarrassed me.
For y'all.
It's. I'm blushing. It's really hard to embarrass me. You've done it.
Woo!
Wee! Sounds like your girls are free
right
now.
That's the noise coming from Wally Phillips Cemetery right now. You can hear spinning.
All right, well, Karen, I don't know what to do, and maybe I'll follow your advice.
Okay, well, I'll do it tonight, and then I'll let you know.
All right,
but see, then it puts the pressure on, and if they win, you're going to have to do it for the rest of the season, or off-season,
pressure
or postseason.
Pressure is the name of the game.
Thank you, Karen.
Surely.
Let's play two.
No, your name's Karen.
No, it's Karen.
Let's play two. How old are you?
11. Just turned 11. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll solve the world's other problems next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. How superstitious are you? The Blackhawks are playing the St. Louis Blues in Game 4 tonight at the United Center. The puck drops whenever the referee lets it go. And Wendy is trying to figure out whether or not she should wear a certain article of apparel, if it's a good thing for the Blackhawks or a bad thing.
Last year it worked in the playoffs when I started realizing every time I wear that playoff bra, they won. Pretty much every time, I think. And that's why I retired it for this season.
Right.
Put it away.
But you said pretty much, because I seem to remember a couple of games where you wore it and it did not end well.
Well, I can't remember everything.
All right.
So that's what I mean. I think it's I forgot all about it, which I should have, because on Wednesday, Friday night they won.
Yeah.
Going to the game Sunday while wearing it there. Well, I never wore it there. Maybe that was the losing one.
You're not supposed to actually wear it to the game. You just wear it in the privacy of your own home.
I don't know, but somebody says don't wear it. The bra has lost its mojo. Go with the line change, just like Coach Q would do. So I'm going to wear the one I wore Friday.
Call Coach Quinville up and ask him.
Can you hear him hanging up now in advance?
Yes. As the phone is ringing, he's trying to figure out a way to hang up on a ringing phone. And it's called this just because of the virtue of the fact that you've worn it during the playoffs. They're not marketing it with that name, are they?
No,
you've dubbed it that,
because it seemed to have. It wasn't me. I think it was a listener.
Oh,
I'm not sure.
You're right. It was.
I think so. And I think we also had the idea last year that we were going to do the Coach Q playoff bra, where it was a bra and then just a giant mustache on the front covering things up.
And then his agents got a little squirrely, didn't they? His manager saw it differently. That's understandable. I don't blame him.
Somebody thinks Jimmy Mack should wear it tonight, and maybe it'll wreck that mojo or bring the mojo back.
Wouldn't that be a treat for everybody involved? Would you like to see that?
No, and we're having a Teuvo Teravainen Taser Taco Tuesday extravaganza tonight while we watch the game.
That took some doing.
I know. Can you think of any more teas?
No.
I don't like the alliteration on this.
Taco
Tuesday, and then we had to tie it into Teuvo Teravainen, and you got to put Captain Taze in there.
That's going to take the whole game just to tell everybody that the food's ready.
I know. So maybe if that works, it'll be a Teuvo Teravainen Taser Taco Tuesday. Every Tuesday they play.
Yes.
Play on Friday, which they will?
Don't.
I'm confused about everything.
Well, we wish them good luck tonight. We're all hopefully going to have a tide series here in Chicago. Speaking of women and articles of apparel, I saw this, and it certainly bears repeating. This is a story out of Toronto, Canada. Observers, this is frightening to me. I understand liking something and wanting to not lose something that means something to you, but I don't understand this. Observers at the Toronto Zoo looked on in horror as a woman suddenly jumped the fence at a tiger pen, reportedly to retrieve her fallen baseball cap. A YouTube video that was posted yesterday shows the woman hopping off of a walkway to recover her hat as the tiger rapidly paces back and forth behind a second protective fence and starts jumping up toward her. This is the worst idea ever, somebody says in the background, representing
the voice of
everybody on the planet. Afterwards, the onlooker is heard telling the woman, "You're a moron."
Oh, well, that's helping out. Hey, moron.
And keep in mind, Wendy,
Crunch.
I don't know if you've spent any time in Canada. Canada has the most polite people on the planet living there. Everybody in Canada is so unbelievably polite, and yet she was called a moron by others. Somebody else said this, "You're a bad example to everybody else's kids. Get out of my face." The zoo is now investigating the incident. That shouldn't take long.
No, her picture's right there, but she didn't really jump into the enclosure.
Well, there's two levels of this. She jumped into the first part, but there's still a restraining fence.
Right, and the tiger's going bonkers.
Yeah, because he's like,
"I gotta get that lady.
Right.
She's great."
A spokesperson told a local CBC news outlet that the woman could have easily injured herself Well, she could have, but more likely the tiger would have injured the woman.
Yeah, but the tiger couldn't get to her. She was safe from the tiger.
You don't think the tiger could have somehow scaled that fence or anything if he sees... He sees a buffet in front of her.
No, him. Watch.
There is another fence.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
And that it looks like a little, storage shed or something where they probably keep the tiger food. So I'm sure that the keepers are there. So when the tiger saw somebody in that little penned area, thought, I'm getting dinner.
Right.
I don't care if it's her. I know I'm getting something. But why would you jump in for a baseball cap? Your kid? Yes.
My kid in a minute.
Maybe my purse even.
Oh.
Maybe it was a lucky playoff hat.
Maybe it was. I couldn't, of all the things I own, I know a person isn't a possession, but if one of my kids fell into that little
place. One of them.
Place,
Kylie.
Either one of them.
Okay, good.
Either one of them. Even somebody else's kid. Seriously, if it was somebody else's child and I went, that kid's about to be mauled by a tiger, I would jump in.
You would not.
I would definitely jump in. I don't want to see a kid mauled by a tiger.
Let that kid's dad jump in.
Would you go after one of your more rare collection pieces, one of your rarer toys?
Would I?
Yeah.
Because you do travel with them all the time.
Right. You know, right.
Right.
In your handy carry bag.
Right. If it was my Captain Action Green Hornet figure... Is that what you're asking, Kevin?
Yeah, that's the one.
I would give it a moment of thought.
You would jump in after. You would punch the tiger out, and the tiger would have X's for eyes and be upside down.
Like in cartoons?
Yes.
Oh, I don't think that's true. I think that's just in cartoons. I don't think that happens.
No, why don't you try it?
I don't think I have a single possession. When we were in Disneyland a couple months ago in California, I had a baseball hat on that meant a lot to me. And on one of the rides on Splash Mountain, I was holding it, and it still fell off. And I'm like, what do I do now?
Did you go look for it?
No, we talked to people at Lost and Found, and they gave us this whole long story about how on some of the rides, they clean them out every day, but on that ride on Splash Mountain, it's every 2 weeks. So they go, you could call us in 2 weeks. I'm like, yeah, I'm sure that'll pay off. But I wouldn't have I wouldn't endanger my own life or somebody else's life over just an object like that.
Take that, all you Facebook posters and texters. The hat is not attached to his head.
It's not.
What hat was it?
It's staple gunned. It was a Cubs hat. The one I'm wearing currently has replaced that
one. I know.
One.
You know how I knew? Because when you wore it today and you're wearing a Cubs hat, why you're not wearing your Blackhawks hat, I don't know why.
I don't know. It's in rotation.
It is. It looks new. So I noticed it right away.
It is new. It's shiny new. But if I was, you know how I like to go visit tiger enclosures after the show? If I were to drop this hat in there, even though it's new, I wouldn't go in after it. Not me. Mm-mm.
Green Lantern, though?
Green Lantern, I would consider.
All right.
Yep.
Yeah, don't jump into a pen. That's stupid.
Don't do it.
You know what you do? You just go to the main office or find a zoo employee and tell them, hey, I dropped my hat.
Right.
Could someone go get it?
Yeah.
You don't take the initiative and jump in there.
Right. Whoever's low man on the totem pole.
Well, the keeper would go in and get it.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Just a spectator, a visitor isn't supposed to be going in there.
Right.
Was she from Detroit? Do we know?
No, it doesn't say that, Steve. Okay. It says Toronto. No.
A baseball cap, really? A purse? Yeah, I could almost see that. That's
even
just
that.
Your reaction.
But you saw how fast that tiger reacted. That tiger was all, there was
it's
a fence
a
there, thankfully, but that tiger had stars in his eyes. All right, we'll take a quick break. Steve will give you the news and then a lot more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Oh, yeah, the name of the song is Fly. Oh, I got it. All right. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder at 720 WGN. And we got news over the weekend that a police investigation is underway after a passenger plane approaching Heathrow Airport flew into what he believed to have been a drone. Now, this is some scary stuff. A lot of drones out there. I believe I read earlier that there were 583 drones that pilots have seen, but they never interfered with the operation of the aircraft.
Until now.
So on the line with us right now is a commercial pilot who's also a listener, and his name is Steve Derevy. How are you, Steve?
I'm great. How are you, Wendy?
Well, I'm pretty scared. I'm not a really good flyer to begin with. And this was a British Airways flight from Geneva, 132 passengers, 5 crew members on board. And it was approaching the London Heathrow Airport. And it was hit on its descent and approaching the runway. Now, everything turned out to be okay, but this could have been terrible.
It could have been. Yeah, it's unfortunately, we're seeing more and more of these kind of incidents. It's out there. It's just really it's been a matter of time someone actually ran into one.
Steve, what happens in your training as a pilot? Is there something that they tell you to be more mindful of now that drones are so much a bigger part of the landscape?
No, this is a matter of adapting to the reality of a new technology that's out there. That we always, anytime we're on an approach or on a takeoff from any airport, major airport, our eyes are outside and we're looking for anything that might be out there. And there's, at any major airport, there can be any number of things that, might be out there, small airplanes, other airplanes that may not be talking to air traffic control or whatever. So our eyes are outside watching. And these drones are difficult because they're so small and they're so hard to see.
And this, some of the information we got from this particular story, BBC.com, flying a drone near an airport can already be punished with up to 5 years in prison. Rules forbid them from flying them beyond the direct unaided line of sight of the operator or near buildings and crowds of people. And drones may not fly above 400 feet. Well, when you're landing,
at some point you're below the 400-foot line.
I know. So, but you'd think that people who have drones would not be flying them near an airport for fear that maybe there could be.
You would think that, but you also have to realize that you or I could go down to a store, one of these big box stores this afternoon, and go buy one of these things and go out and be flying it within an hour. And there's no test of federal aviation regulations or anything else. Somebody can go and buy one and launch it and fly it. And that's the problem with these things, is that there's very little regulation on them, and there's very little education, and it's a piece of technology that it's there, and it hasn't been thought out by the regulators yet, and it's a little bit scary right now. With so many of them out there.
I have a question. Steve Darabee on the line with us. He's a listener and he is a commercial pilot. And I know that I've heard that birds can really cause a problem if there is a bird strike or if it's sucked into the engine. I want to ask you, what happens? What damage can a bird do? And then would drones be maybe worse?
Well, they probably would be worse. Most of these modern jet engines have been tested to ingest a pretty good sized bird. And, most of the time, if you hit a bird, you're only going to hit it in, say, on one engine. Now, Captain Sullenberger out in New York, just had the misfortune of hitting two, knocked out both of his engines. And everybody remembers, what happened with that flight. It was a pretty amazing and heroic effort. But generally, if something like that happens, it's not going to knock out both engines. But a drone is a lot of mechanical parts, and it's metal and it's plastic and all kinds of things. They come. I've seen them in all kinds of different sizes. And you get one of these drones that is of a larger size, it would definitely do a number on a jet engine.
And couldn't it crack the windshield as well if you hit it at the right spot?
Oh, definitely. We're going on an approach. We're anywhere between 150 miles an hour and 250 miles an hour, and you hit something at that speed, and it's going to do some significant damage.
Steve, Wendy had mentioned earlier that there were 500 and some odd incidents of pilots reporting seeing drones while the plane was up in the air. Just by virtue of that number, does that mean when they see them that they're a little bit too close to for comfort?
Well, if you can see them, they're probably too close for comfort because yeah. they're hard to see to start with. I've seen two in the last year.
Really?
I've seen one on an approach to Kennedy Airport in New York, and another one on an approach to Los Angeles International.
So what's your move when you see it? What do you do then?
Well, you know, the difficult thing from our perspective is that it's difficult to see what direction it's moving. You know, it's very small, and it's there's no pointy end on a drone. You know, so you really don't know which way it's going, and you know where you're going and where your flight path is, and sometimes you can see if it's headed in your direction. The two that I've seen were not converging, appear to be converging with us. But they were both within a mile of our aircraft. I didn't, in either case, have to take any evasive action. But pilots certainly have, I know, in the past year. It's just one of those things. You either fly up, you fly down, or around it to keep from hitting it.
This is probably a really stupid question, Steve, but I'm still amazed that...
No stupid questions, Wendy.
I'll wait till you hear it, Steve.
Well,
hold on.
I'm amazed that airplanes can still stay up in the air, but here's the question. Air traffic control, do they see drones? Are they detectable on their radar?
No. They're so small that they probably don't even show up on their radar. Something has to be of pretty good size to show up in their radar, and we also in most all commercial airplanes and all airplanes that are flying within some distance of the airport have what's called a transponder installed in the airplane, and it sends out a signal to air traffic control, which lights up a little data block on their radar screen so that they can see us and identify who we are and where we're going. Obviously, drone doesn't have that kind of equipment. So, no, they do not see them on their radar.
There's one guy quoted in this article from the BBC.com, and it says, we've seen incidents up at 8,000 feet where drones just have no place to be, so we've got to do something. That's pretty high.
That's pretty high. Generally, you're going to see them below in the neighborhood of 3,000 feet or lower. And it kind of depends on the size of the drone, too. I've seen these things all the way from a small thing about the size of your fist all the way up to something like 2 feet by 2 feet. It's, you know, there's a huge range of sizes, and I assume costs of these things as well. So, you know, the bigger these things are, the more damage they could do to an airplane.
Steve, in one of the stories where they were talking about how this is becoming a little bit more prevalent of late, they said that the bigger threat is still laser pointers. Have you had any incidents where somebody's flashing a laser pointer at you while you're flying a plane?
Yeah. Yes.
Go through that with us. What are you blinded by that? I don't understand.
Well, not right away. It's kind of an interesting phenomena that happens. Obviously, it only really affects you at night. What happens is that you'll first notice like a green kind of if it's a green laser, and normally they are those laser pointers. It'll hit the cockpit glass, which acts as kind of a prism, and it kind of splashes green light around the cockpit. Your first inclination is, well, what's that and where is it coming from, and to look at it. Well, that's obviously the wrong
right.
thing to do, but we've seen lasers that have gotten us hit us four or five times in the matter of a very short period of time, a matter of a minute. It's a technology that people have gotten a hold of, and it's something that, you know, I don't know what, to me, I don't know what goes through somebody's mind that decides to point a laser at an airplane. It's kind of a foreign concept, but there's people out there that just think that that's something, you know, that they want to do. And I don't know why, but
I don't get it either.
It can be very dangerous, and it can blind people, and it has caused pilots to lose their night vision for at least a short period of time.
Wow.
That's scary. Steve Darabee, thank you so much for talking with us about it.
My pleasure.
You can now put your tray table down and prepare for landing, because I believe we're wrapping this up, and we'd love to talk to you again.
Anytime, Wendy. Anytime.
Thank you, Steve. Have a great week.
Okay. Thanks, Bill. You too.
All right. Take care. Bye.
And we have to go live now to the newsroom. Steve Bertrand has some breaking news.
Well, I just want to let you know of a situation that's developing in Beecher, Illinois, and we don't know very much yet other than that emergency crews have been called to the home of Milt Pappas, the former great Chicago Cub. The pitcher threw a no-hitter in the 70s, and the police chief told me just a few minutes ago that there have been representatives from the coroner's office called as well. So we don't know exactly what might be transpiring there, but certainly a variety of emergency personnel have responded to the home of Milt Pappas this afternoon in Will County. So we're following that, trying to get as much information as we can, and we'll let you know more as soon as we have more.
Thank you, Steve. We'll all be following that story greatly throughout the day, and hoping for the best for Milt Pappas and whatever's going on there in Beecher, Illinois. A quick break, and then more show, Bill and Wendy, WGN.
All right, that was really interesting talking to our listener friend, Steve Darabee, who is a commercial pilot, and I would like to only fly his flights from now on. I would feel much better knowing the pilot, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I don't understand the mindset. I mean, we alluded to this earlier, but for somebody who is, I don't know in this drone case in Heathrow if that was on purpose to try and mess up a plane, but how the people
how could anybody want to do that, really? Do you really think so? I think they were screwing around with it and it got in the way of a plane, don't you?
I do in this particular instance, but with all the people with laser pointers that are aiming them at airplanes, those aren't all accidents. There's way, way, way too many of those to be accidents. Somebody just wants to see what effect it'll have, and it's not good. I mean, luckily there hasn't been any major incidents by somebody doing that, but eventually there will be one.
Well, there was someone that texted something that I felt foolish to bring up when we were talking to our pilot friend, because I don't know if somebody's messing with me. 630, what kind of damage would incur from a man flying up there on a hoverboard, since as we have seen that some company has actually produced one? They're not going to get up that high.
No. No, that's not an issue at all. It's not.
What about somebody with a Cecil and Beanie helicopter hat, the propeller hat?
I think that's okay, too. I also think that airplane on a string that you spin around in your yard, I don't think they've made in 35 years.
There are real jetpacks, though, coming out. This is a real thing.
There are
jetpacks.
No, that
exists. Okay, now, wait a minute.
That exists. I saw a guy with one in Chicago a few years ago. A guy had a jetpack.
And what was he doing?
Like the man from GLAD. Like flying around in it.
He was not. How far above the ground was he?
20 feet.
What?
25 feet. Yeah.
Did you call the authorities?
Yeah, I said Flash Gordon is he's running rampant on Michigan Avenue. Please get Flash Gordon.
The one I saw, they were like pretty high up.
Did you see it here in town too?
No,
he saw a video on YouTube anybody could fake.
I will show it to you. It's 100% real.
They really do have them.
You should put it on our live blog, because everybody's complaining that, you know, you had the, well, not everybody. There was one listener who said, we're talking about the woman who jumped into the tiger pit.
Oh, yeah.
Why don't you guys put links on your Facebook page?
We did that for a week or two.
Well, we don't really put stuff on our Facebook page, which
happened? We used to. Kevin,
it's
what
a lot of work for Kevin.
Too much work?
I mean, I can.
All right. Yeah, do that. That would be nice.
All right. Links.
Yeah, put links.
I guess, yeah. I don't know how it works. We have a live blog going on where you go to WGN Radio/Bill and Wendy, and right up there you'll see the live blog.
Right. Yeah.
He's got so much to
do. Kevin has a lot going on.
He's watching YouTube videos of people with jetpacks.
Well, that's something.
You saw someone, all a day's work.
You honestly saw someone on the streets of Chicago with a jetpack on.
Yeah. About 5 or 6 years ago, I don't know what the goal, I don't know if he was a guy who was just experimenting with it or what was going on there, but I saw a guy with a jetpack, and I don't see that very often. So, I mean, I watched him for a little while. He was flying around. It was fun to watch.
It would be fun to watch, but 20 feet up in the air.
I couldn't do it. Like, as I was watching this, I'm like, and the same thing happened 2 or 3 weeks ago. You know, they've had these things that are, they call them hoverboards,
right,
but they're not.
They're not.
They don't really hover. But there's one that works on water, like you can use it in a lake or something, and you really do go up in the air on it. And then I was thinking, I don't think I'd be good on that because there's no real braking system. You either master it or you crash. Those are your only two options. Like, there's no learning curve with something like that. You go up in the air, it's like, I better know how to land this thing.
Well, I hope the jetpack guy figured it out before he took it up for a spin.
I'm sure whoever that guy was, he seemed to know what he was doing. Remember when we were kids, the man from GLAD had one?
Yeah, but that was the man from GLAD in a commercial. It wasn't the street.
This guy was in real life, which is way better.
I wonder where he is now, because if he was going up 20 feet like 5 or 6 years ago.
You think he's better off now? You think
he's probably flying himself to Florida.
I don't think you can get enough gas in the thing. I don't think. I know very little about them. I just know as I'm watching, I'm going, that guy's either really brave or really stupid because I don't think I'm ready for that.
Yeah, stay on the ground with your new Cubs hat.
I don't want to hurt myself.
Because you thought you lost your hat on the ride at Disney.
Yeah.
You're going to lose it on your jetpack.
I don't want to do that. It means too much to me. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Steve has the news, and then we have even more show for you. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Steve, thanks. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder, and we're trying our best, Steve, and we hope you can help us with this, to digest the news that we've just received moments ago about Cubs pitcher Milt Pappas. Steve, if you wouldn't mind, just repeat some of the facts that we know as of now.
Well, you know, I've talked to a couple of officials in the town of Beecher and can tell you that there was an emergency call to the home of Milt Pappas, and that once the crews got there, they also notified the coroner's office, and that there was not going to be a transport from the home to the hospital.
So can only assume things, but nothing has been 100% confirmed yet.
Right. Those are three facts that have been given to me by separate officials in the area. I don't know that he lived alone. I think he did. You know, I mean, I'm down there once in a while. I ran into Milt Pappas a few years ago at a fundraiser, actually for my cousin who was killed, and he was there. So, you know, Milt is a fixture in the Beecher and Piatone areas and in Mantino from time to time. But, that's as much as we know. But we do know those three facts have been confirmed for us.
That name is, and I think anybody who's probably around our age and grew up in and around Chicago, that name just resonates as one of those classic names of summer. You know, a man who's fortunate enough to play baseball for a living and did it very, very well, a great pitcher for the Cubs and three other teams over the years, but we all knew him and loved him as a member of the Cubs. And you hate to hear about anything bad happening to those guys, you know?
Yeah, Milt, 76 years old, and he threw the no-hitter in 1972. It was a perfect game, but for the eyesight of Bruce Fleming, the home plate umpire, who, I don't know if you remember that, Bill, but called a ball.
I remember it well, a 3-2 pitch. Cubs, it was a blowout game. The Cubs were up, I think, 8-0 or something.
Ninth inning, wasn't it?
And yeah. Last batter of the ball game, he's one strike away from throwing what many in sports consider to be one of the hardest of all accomplishments, throwing a perfect game, and throws a borderline call that nearly every umpire in baseball would have called a strike. It was that close.
Right.
Jeez.
And Bruce Fleming decided it was not a strike, it was a ball. And the rivalry between those two men has gone on since 1972.
It became a little more fun in the later years, but it was pretty fierce in the early years.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Birth date, May 11th, 1939. Orioles, Cubs, Reds, Braves from 1957 to 1973. And last game Milt Pappas played, September 18th, 1973, at the age of 34.
Yeah, yeah.
Boy, you got to retire early when you're in baseball, don't you?
A lot of times, and in his era, you know, if you were pitching in the late 1960s and the early 1970s, it was a four-man rotation, and the guys pitched normally into the seventh and eighth innings pretty regularly, unless you were getting blown out.
Really?
So there was a lot of wear and tear on the pitchers in that day, especially with a four-man rotation. But he really, there's names that just, you know, are in your head if you grew up, especially if you're a Cubs fan, and the name
Milt
Pappas.
Even a Sox fan knows Milt Pappas.
Sure. Without a doubt. Without a doubt. So, yeah, so this is, as the day progresses and we get more news of this, certainly Steve will keep you informed on everything, and Judy Pilak later on in the afternoon. But you don't want to hear bad things happening about a guy like, you know, with a guy like Milt Pappas. You just don't. So, yeah, that's rough. That's very rough.
More on that as it develops. And I know, see, you've got to have confirmation, but evidence is pointing to a certain thing, which is sad.
Yeah. All right, let's do this.
Although you wore your Cubs hat for the first time in a long time today.
It's a new Cubs hat. That, you know, that's another thing. I know this seems idiotic, but I'll say it anyway. With the Cubs doing as good as they are this season, there's certain guys that you wanted to see. Ron Santo is the one that is so obvious,
oh my
but
God,
I can't not say it. You wanted those guys to see this all pay off someday. All those guys that have been Cubs during the good years, which were few and far between, and the bad years, which were plentiful, you wanted to see this thing pay off for guys like Milt Pappas and Glenn Beckert and Don Kessinger and Ron Santo and Billy Williams and Ernie Banks and on and on and on and on.
Jeez, you know? Look at that list.
Yeah. Oh, it's so much longer than that. So that's one of the things that you hope, if you were one of those guys, hang on, this could be the year, you know? So, all right, let's take a
quick
break.
Some of us believe they have a better seat than anyone now, though.
True. I know.
So they're still seeing.
The ultimate skybox. Right?
Right.
All right, a break and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Kevin likes everything very fast-paced, Wendy. That's how he runs his ship. Very fast-paced. It's an anniversary for Kevin. Did you know that today?
Yes, happy four.
Thanks.
Fourth anniversary for Kevin and Sarah.
Yeah, 4 years.
They're headed out to Arby's for dinner.
Yep,
should be nice.
Sure, a real nice time at Arby's.
Yep, get the horsey sauce. You'll thank me later.
It's good.
It is. It's very, it's got a hint of horsey radish.
There's a little bit of horse in there.
Do you go inside on your fourth anniversary? You don't go drive-through, do you?
Well, I don't have a car, so.
Okay. Do you go walk-through?
Yeah, well, they don't usually.
Do you clip-clop like a horse?
Mm-hmm.
Because of the horsey sauce.
No,
sometimes,
I get it.
Yeah, okay. Sometimes it's a journey.
I'm in and out sometimes.
Yeah,
okay,
I know.
I'm not always here.
Trust us, we know.
Speaking of fast food, how about this? Did you see what McDonald's is doing?
What now? Besides getting rid of the wraps that they already did.
Oh, are they doing that? I didn't know that.
They're gone. The snack wrap was the best thing ever there.
McDonald's has, and I think this is a great idea, Wendy. It's this is a new concept at McDonald's that they're starting out in Missouri, but they expect this to go nationwide very, very soon. All-you-can-eat French fries at McDonald's. Now, there's another food chain that's more of a sit-down place, and I'm trying to think of who this is. Somebody's been doing this for about a year.
I think you're thinking of Red Robin.
It's Red Robin.
Yep.
That's right, Red Robin.
How do they make that work? You just go
all
up.
All the fries you want. They bring you some, and if you want more, you go, I'm out of fries, give me more fries, and they do.
The burgers are so huge to begin with, and the fries are huge, too.
Can I tell you, Miss Junk Food has never had a Red Robin burger ever?
You would enjoy it.
Ever?
Good.
It's pretty good.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess you get your limit, so they're not going to lose a lot of money doing it.
I think that the margin.
McDonald's though, they're best fries.
Yeah. Here's what it says: McDonald's is about to test a new business model in Missouri with a very appetizing feature. That feature, all-you-can-eat French fries. Customers will be able to place their orders at kiosks, including hundreds of customizable burger and dessert options.
How does that work? Giant vending machine?
No, I think you just go up, and I don't know if that means they're adding extra toppings or what.
Well, no, but if it's a kiosk, they're not going to, I guess, it doesn't seem like they're going to be freshly made is what I'm saying. Like that little pop-up restaurant that we frequent
sometimes. The one across the street?
Yeah, that doesn't have like a something they can make fresh fries in.
No, but if you're giving them your options, like let's say they've added black olives and mushrooms and stuff like that, then it has to be custom. It has to be fresh, doesn't it? They wouldn't
no,
just have...
it could be a plain burger that they put the accoutrement on.
Look at you with the French.
Merci beaucoup.
When the order's ready, it will then be brought to your table. And I think they've tried that at some McDonald's, too. I think they've tried tableside service.
I don't need that.
You just want to go up, order, and walk away with it, right? This, it says, is supposed to speed up the whole process. I don't know if it does. The new kiosk system means that McDonald's won't need as many cashiers.
Oh, that's sad news.
That's what I was wondering is, does this tie into their potential for a $15 an hour pay raise? Because if that happens, that's how you cut money, is you have less people working it.
They're also already doing the automated McCafe services, too.
What is that? I don't know.
So, you know, you can get, like, your coffee drinks at a McDonald's.
Yeah. Oh, you do your own bevies.
You select the soda machine, it's all automated.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if all of them are doing
it. But even places, I'll use Jewel as an example. Even places that have a bunch of self-service, like the two of the Jewels by me have a bunch of self-service aisles now, not just two, but
like
three.
Like what?
There's like six of them, but you still have to have a couple of people kind of...
What are you self-serving? I don't understand.
A Jewel? Just, you know,
well,
it's
you
checkout.
Pick up your groceries? Oh, I'm sorry.
Checkout.
Okay. I didn't know what you meant. I thought like you could just take your groceries off the shelf like most
people do.
Well,
no, that's standard. But at checkout... Like, it used to be we had two aisles.
We have none left.
You don't have any?
No, they don't do it anymore.
Well, I wonder why.
I don't know. They took the self-checkout away. Were people stealing?
Were you stealing?
No.
Were you giving yourself a million Monopoly cards?
No. I got to tell you, I would marry my husband all over again. He came home with like 40 of them yesterday. It was like triple coupon day. And I tweeted something that, you know, I'm starting to lose faith in you, Jewel, because I haven't won my $1 million yet. I haven't even won the $5 card.
How close are you?
And Jewel tweeted me back and said, don't give up. People win. Somebody won
TV. Somebody has to win.
I have 40, at least 20 to go through when I get home. Yeah. I am going to win the million.
You're not going to win.
I'm so going to.
Everybody's missing one. You know that, right?
No, I'm missing two.
Okay. Then the odds are better for you, I think.
I just want the dream home. But the self-checkout I loved because that is like my secret passion. When this radio thing doesn't work out anymore,
sure.
I'm going to go work at some kind of grocery store because I want to be a cashier and a bagger.
Well, that's your dream then.
It is.
It's right there. But you know how, like, even at the stores, yours doesn't have it, but at ours, there's six self-service aisles, but they have to have two or three people. I guess that's less than having six people work there. But there's still people who need to be there to oversee everything.
Stops every stinking second.
There's a lot of flaws in the system.
I'm trying to punch in my Lime code.
Right.
And all of a sudden, whoop, whoop, right. Whoop. What's the problem?
I buy a lot of like citrus fruit and stuff. I buy a lot of fruit, and I don't know what the codes are for the different kind of fruit.
It's on the sticker.
Is that what it is? So you just scan
it
like that?
How do you get by in life?
No, the one by me, there's like a 3 or 4 digit code. I always see them like looking at it and then punching in a code.
It's not just a sticker.
I don't have glasses with me when I'm shopping. I can't see what it is. I might think it's a kumquat, but it's a mango. It says as for the fry for all, that's what they're calling this. It's not an all you can eat fries, Wendy. It's a fry for all.
Ted Nugent better jump on this and his free for all song.
Bloomberg reports that McDonald's locations across the country have removed the healthier wraps. Those are the ones you're referring to from their menus so that they can focus more on the chain's all day breakfast. Has that been a hit for them or a miss?
It's been a huge hit.
Has it really, Steve?
Yeah, big hit.
You know what? The only reason I would like that is if you don't get to the McDonald's by 10:30 and you can't get your Egg McMuffin.
Right.
Well, that's why they do it.
Yeah, but then stop it at 11, although then I'd be mad I wasn't there at 11.
Right.
But do people get Egg McMuffins like at 4 in the afternoon?
Yeah,
they do?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Do you, Steve?
No, I haven't, but I know of people who have, and I mean, sometimes... the hankering for a breakfast burrito doesn't end at 10:30. Sometimes
it could be any time.
4:47 in the afternoon.
Those breakfast burritos are pretty good and tiny.
But they said initially when they started this that the problem was they weren't set up to go back and forth. Like usually they have everything set up for breakfast and then when at 10
different
o'clock.
Griddles.
Right. So the problem was when somebody would go in the middle of the day, even though the ads were saying breakfast anytime you want, when you did do it, they're like, oh, great. Now,
oh, no.
What do we do?
Once they advertised it, but there's, it's not every item. Like, I like the bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit. They don't offer
you
that.
You can't get that in the middle of the day?
It's like a McGriddle or an Egg McMuffin.
Oh, all right.
There's, and the, maybe the burrito, but there's only limited.
It's only a couple choices. Edward Jones, who is not identified in the story.
Just a guy named
Edward
Jones.
It just says Edward Jones. Oh, okay, here's what it is. Edward Jones analyst Jack Russo told Bloomberg, a lot of people who eat at restaurants aren't interested in health and wellness. Yeah, play that up. That's a good idea.
It's true, though. If you're going to a fast food place, you're going for the dollar menu probably,
yeah,
and you're in a hurry.
I guess. He then adds, you've got to give people what they want.
So give me the fries.
McDonald's is saying, even though we gave you, who knows how many fries are in that large order of fries? Is there 80 fries in there? It's a bunch of French fries. That's not enough for people. They want more.
Well, I will tell you this, and I hate to admit we go to a McDonald's too frequently, but if you get the small fry, they jam pack it, so it's really overflowing.
Right.
But if you get the large fry, it's not jamming. It's kind of just filled to the top.
Right, but that's now, that's a huge container of
French
fries.
Yeah, but I get that for three people.
Oh, you guys split it.
Yeah.
You know what the best French fry or French fries are? Are the ones you think you're totally out of fries, but then they're at the bottom of the bag. There's like three of them hidden under your hamburger. You didn't even know you had those.
Bonus fries.
Those are the bonus fries.
Surprise
those are,
fries, yeah.
What are they
surprise
called? Surprise
fries.
Fries.
I like
fries.
That better.
They're the ones with the claws. They hang on to that crevice.
Yeah, they fight because they don't want to give up like their brethren. They're like, no, we're in this for the long haul.
We're bad. We have to get car fries now.
What, oh, on the way home?
Yeah.
So you have something to eat on the way home?
And then you have to get an additional one because they never make it home.
Right.
They don't. If they're hot, there's no way those are making it home.
So the all-you-can-eat fries is tailor-made for you and your family.
Well, they'd have to move into our car.
No, you know what I picture you guys doing? Is driving to McDonald's, getting the fries, driving home.
Circle.
Just coming back. Oh, the Snyders are here again. The Snyder Max are here. Great. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll give you some news. Steve has the news.
Hey,
and
your
more
chance
show.
To win ticket, a gift card.
That's right, $100 gift card.
For the Blackhawk store with locations in Chicago, Oak Brook, Old Orchard, and the United Center. This is Compliments of Village of Bedford Park. Not happening yet, but stay tuned. We were, can we clean up a few things? We were talking about loose McDonald's fries because they're thinking about giving you unlimited fries. We called them bonus fries. Kevin had a better one. What are they called?
Surprise fries.
You have to trademark that, Kevin. You can make $1 million off a surprise.
Trademark me now.
Yeah, all right.
It's under the burger. It's under the napkin. And then, lo and behold, there are a few more.
You reach in the bag. You think to yourself, how sad is this? I started out with a big box of fries. I had 60 fries. I ate them all. They're all gone. And then you reach down and you go, wait a minute. There's a couple of stragglers. This is the best.
Somebody calls those fries bagglers.
That works. I understand that. Yeah, bagglers works.
And someone's complaining, sometimes I want a Big Mac in the morning. What about us? What about us people who don't want breakfast in the morning? We want a Big Mac in the morning.
There's something to that, too.
And then I was also talking about my Jewel Monopoly where I'm going to win the million.
Yeah. Because you're one away or two away now
two.
From the million. Two away.
Mm-hmm.
You're so close. They should just give it to you.
Somebody said that I should post on Craigslist for the pieces I need from the Jewel Monopoly. First of all, I'll bet you no one has those pieces.
Everyone's missing the same pieces.
Second of all, who's going to give them to me?
A saint, obviously.
Who would do that? Here's the piece I need. Okay,
right.
Here, take it. What do you need it for? A million? Could you give me 100?
I used to work at a place where they all, one day, I'll never forget this day, because they all realized somebody was playing the Monopoly game during lunch, and somebody said, I'm only missing one. For every major prize, I'm missing one. And somebody said, I am too. And a third person said, me too. Like, they were all amazed by that. And I explained to them, that's how this game works. Everyone on the planet is missing the same one piece. Yeah, that's how it works.
Oh, my God, Bill.
What?
708 says, unless they're lying.
They're lying.
My wife just won the $5,000 free groceries from Jewel. It is a $5,000 worth of free groceries.
Right. That's one of their prizes.
Tinley Park Jewel.
Well, I'm not sure. I mean, somebody does have to win. It's illegal to have a contest where there isn't a winner. But it's just weird that everybody thinks, I'm so close. I'm just one away.
We've won $5 three times so far. That's more than I have ever
won.
I
know.
I've won nothing. I can't even get one $5 prize with the Jewel Monopoly.
It's upsetting, isn't it?
Yeah, and now McDonald's has the Monopoly, too.
Yeah, the Monopoly game is everywhere.
Why? It's How can Jewel two and companies McDonald's. Do that?
I don't know. They can market it to everybody if they want to.
You'd think that little dude could afford more than a monocle.
Rich Uncle Moneybags?
Is that his name?
I think so. Uncle Moneybags or Uncle Pennybags? It's one of those. His name is it says Rich right in the title of his name. He should share the wealth.
All right, how should we do this? Because this is exciting for me and for you and for the listeners and for all of the world.
All right, it's a $100 gift card to the Blackhawk store. It's a fantastic prize. There are four incredible locations. Each of the Blackhawk stores is great, filled to the rafters with valuable Blackhawks merchandise. And if you're a fan of the team, it's the place to be to get jerseys or sweaters or hats or whatever you want, Blackhawks. You tell me. Whatever you think is best, I'm going in on.
I want to make it random.
Uh-huh.
Because as I mentioned yesterday, there are people who love the Blackhawks who may not know every ounce of trivia.
Right, that's true.
From years gone by.
That's very true.
So I like to make it random, but this is a $100 gift card for the Blackhawks store. You can go either to the flagship store right here in Chicago, Oak Brook, Old Orchard, United Center. This is all compliments of Village of Bedford Park, helping you gear up for the playoffs with the new Blackhawks swag. Village of Bedford Park, think about relocating your business for success. So everybody's teaming up to give this great prize, so it shouldn't just be that easy.
You don't want it to be random now.
I kind of want to mix it up.
All right. Whatever your heart desires, what do you want to do? You want to ask a question?
Should we ask the question we discussed off the
air? Do that. If you're happy with that one, do that one.
I'm not really happy with that.
No?
But if you can think of something better. You know, somebody who has listened to the show should be rewarded, and we talked about something in the first half, in the second half, or in show number one, show number two. What do you like to call it?
I like to say two different shows because it seems like we're working harder. We're not, but it seems like
all right.
We're putting in a longer work day.
There's something we mentioned in show one and show two.
Yeah.
Something superstitious that I'm not sure if I should wear tonight.
All right.
And I called it something.
Uh-huh.
And if you know what that is and you're a random caller, you pick the random caller.
All right. Be caller 34. B.
Could you make it easier?
No.
God, you're... Can I be on break?
We call it 34.
312-981-7200.
Yes. Call now. Be caller 34.
I'm a C.
And if... Now, I think you've given away too much information.
I'm insulted.
If you know the answer to Wendy's question and you're caller 34... You win a $100 gift card to the Blackhawks store.
I don't know if sometimes I love you or hate you.
Hello,
or both.
Radio Contest Hall of Fame. We're knocking at the door.
All right, well, we'll start with caller 34,
right.
And we need the correct answer of something that I'm in a quandary as to whether or not I should wear.
Should you wear it tonight or not? That's the question. All right.
Should we talk to Nick?
Yes.
You totally cheated. I don't think
I gave too much away. I don't think I did.
Hey, Nick.
Hello.
What is the item we're referring to?
Your playoff bra.
How about that? Now, Nick, I didn't give away too much, did I?
No, I've been listening to you all day, though.
All right.
All right. Well, you are the random caller, and you were listening, and you, my friend Nick, are going to get a $100 gift card for the Blackhawk store with locations in Chicago, Oak Brook, Old Orchard, United Center. Which ones are you going to go to?
Probably the one in downtown area.
I love that
it's
one.
It's right there.
I know.
It's right down the street.
Two floors of greatness.
Yep.
Well, one floor, really.
One's
but you got to go up
steps.
There.
Yeah.
Compliments of Village of Bedford Park, helping you gear up for the playoffs with the new Blackhawks swag. Village of Bedford Park. Think about relocating your business for success, Nick.
Yes.
All right, hang
Thank
on.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome very much, Nick. Stay on the line.
You proud of yourself?
Yeah, kind of.
That was good.
A little bit.
I'll give you that.
All right, a quick break and then a little bit more show for you, Bill and Wendy, WGN.
All right, you have a story and I have a story.
You go first. Ladies
well,
first.
I'm kind of intrigued by this. They're now thinking that they found this debris, and they're thinking that it gives new clues to the MH370 disappearance, that Malaysian plane, the Malaysian airliner flight MH370. They've identified two pieces of debris that are, quote, almost certainly from the plane.
How about that?
The bits of debris, one from the tailplane, one from the wing flap, were found 130 miles apart on beaches in Mozambique. The search team in Australia has now released photos that give an eerie clue to the fate of the flight. Two pieces of text are stenciled onto the parts. One says no step. The other says 676EB. Investigators say they clearly are in the same font and design used by Malaysian Airlines.
Yeah.
And according to the BBC.com, the letters and numbers differ from the way they would have looked when they left Boeing's factory. The fonts are a little different. One was repainted a different color. The other was in a different place. Both are from the right type of plane, a Boeing 777. Bear in mind that no other 777 has ever crashed in the Southern Hemisphere, and none has reported bits falling off.
Yeah.
The piece of the tailplane also had a fastener on it carrying a manufacturer's stamp. That manufacturer does not make parts for the latest 777s, but it was making them when MH370 was built. They double-checked by looking at the aircraft that rolled off the production line straight afterwards, number 405. The Malaysian flight was number 404. So two clues. It's really looking like this is part of that Malaysian airliner, certainly.
This took a long time. I mean, they still don't know conclusively, but this really took a long time.
And then they were saying that Australian experts are also checking two other pieces of flotsam found on the beaches.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what flotsam was.
I think that's just a clear way of saying debris, isn't it? Is that what it refers to?
It's part of the wreckage of a ship and its cargo found floating on the water.
Yeah.
Because I've heard flotsam and jetsam.
Right. They always go together for some reason.
And in maritime law, flotsam, jetsam, Lagan and derelict are specific kinds of shipwreck.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either. So the new debris they found, they are, and I'm quoting, almost certainly from Malaysian Airlines Boeing 777 aircraft registered NMMRO.
Wow.
Excuse me, 9MMRO. So it did take quite some time, but I just... It's how do you be one of those family members and not know what happened to it?
That would be one of the worst parts of the whole equation, is just not knowing what exactly took place.
And now, according to this BBC story, the families of the 239 people on board, that this might not be great news because their lives have been in limbo, so they're hoping that maybe they landed somewhere. That's not...
Doesn't look good.
Many still don't believe the aircraft crashed into the sea. They do not trust anything the authorities tell them because they didn't have any news and still really don't at this point.
Right,
but
right.
Almost positively connected to that flight.
All right. We have time for one last story, and it's a strange one. This is the University of Buffalo that accepted 5,100 people, kind of, sort of. They sent out letters, acceptance letters, to kids hoping to attend the University of Buffalo. Unfortunately, all these letters, 5,109 of these acceptance letters, were sent in error. It was a total mistake. For more than 5,000 applicants to the University of Buffalo, the process became even more stressful. The university in the state of New York sent out 5,109 acceptance letters, all in error, admitted in a statement on Friday.
Oh, my God.
The mistake was made, and I will say this, because I've now gone through this twice with both my daughters, and you will go through this soon with your sons. That moment of either acceptance or denial
is a big deal.
You remember, it's a huge, huge moment in your life. The mistake was made when an incorrect email list was generated from a database of applicants. This, according to a statement from John Della Cronda, the university's associate vice president for media relations, who I'm guessing is a very busy man the last day or two.
Or just quit.
Or just, right, is handing out resumes right now. He said, we should tell him he's hired. And
right.
Then tell him, oh, you know what? We sent you that by mistake, John. We feel awful.
How terrible is this?
It is terrible.
Don't they have to take him in?
I don't think so. I don't think so, because I'm sure there's a list of actual applicants that are accepted, and then you don't have enough space for both, even though you'd think that'd be the thing to do. I don't see how they could. He said that within 3 to 4 hours of the discovery of the mistake, the applicants were emailed an explanation of what had occurred, along with the university's, and I quote here, sincerest apologies. That makes it all right. We know that this can be a stressful time for prospective students and their families.
Especially now.
Especially now. And then it was underlined 500 times. The University of Buffalo deeply regrets this unfortunate error in communication. What if you were a communications major and you got this and you go, wow, the school doesn't know how to communicate. Why would I want to go there? It added that the steps have been taken since to ensure that this mistake will not be repeated. That's called closing the door too late. It said the admissions applications from the group were still under review. I wouldn't want to go there after this. I'd go, another school.
I'm sorry, but they should let you. Those 5,100 or whatever they sent out, not everybody's going to go.
That's a lot. That's a real lot. The incident is far from the first blunder by a university admissions office. Last year, Carnegie Mellon University, that's a fine institution, by the way, mistakenly sent out acceptance emails to 800 rejected applicants for its master's program in computer science. It's considered to be one of the top programs in the country. And then in 2014, Johns Hopkins University told hundreds of early admissions applicants that they had been accepted. But then in 2012, UCLA incorrectly told almost 900 applicants on their waiting list that they had been admitted. So this isn't the first time that this is actually 4 times all at major schools. That's kind of a lot, isn't it?
That's
especially over something this major. That's a big thing for a kid and their family.
Oh, my God. How terrible
is
that?
It's awful. But I'm serious. If I was one of those kids that was on the bubble and they said, hey, guess what? The University of Buffalo wants you. And then they sent me an email a few hours later going, not so fast. We're still thinking it over. I'd go, well, if that's the way they do business, I might want to find another school.
I don't think they're saying they're thinking it over. The response was, sorry, this was sent an error, correct?
Well, yeah, but they allude to the fact that they're still under consideration. I'm trying to find the exact paragraph.
What if that's the only school, which I know your guidance counselors will always tell you, don't apply to just one school.
Have a backup, right.
Oh, that is terrible.
That's not good. All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. Ro and Anna are at the United Center. It's game 4 of the Blackhawks and St. Louis Blues tonight. They will give you a preview. We'll find out what they have coming up in just a little bit. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder on WGN.